We interrupt your regular scheduled programming for Healing Crusader Sports Time on Siouxland Catholic Radio. And now to the game.
And good evening from West High School here in Sioux City, Iowa, for this Class 3A Substate 1 championship game between the Bishop Healing Catholic Crusaders and the Sergeant Bluff Warriors. Good evening, everybody. Zach James alongside with you. Tony Michaels is alongside with me as well, as is Abby DeMars in our downtown studios. The winner of this game goes to the Class 3A State Tournament in Cedar Rapids next week, and these two teams are very familiar with each other, not only in the regular season, but also in the postseason. So, Tony, good evening, and it's no surprise that it's these two teams vying for a spot to the Class 3A Tournament tonight.
Two teams that are extremely familiar with each other. Of course, we had the doubleheader that took 2 days at Barcliff University. And then we had a fascinating doubleheader in Sergeant Bluff with Helium winning the first tilt 10-0, and then a 4-3 victory for Sergeant Bluff in walk-off fashion in Game 2. So these two teams are extremely familiar with each other. It was nice to see before the game two coaches getting together,
yep.
Lifelong friends, and nice camaraderie between the two. So definitely familiar with each other, and it's going to be the pinnacle of competition as the winner punches their ticket to state.
But over the next hour and 45 minutes or so, these two lifelong friends are going to be battling against each other and coaching their respective teams to the state tournament. Healing comes in with a record of 31-10, while the Warriors come in at a mark of 24-15. And if you missed the broadcast on Monday night, go to SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com to listen to my partner here call that game, and he did a fantastic job doing such. It was a 9-8 extra inning victory over the Lamar's Bulldogs, and then of course the Crusaders won on Friday night in less stressful fashion against Boyne Hall Rack Valley. That's how the Crusaders got here, and it'll be an interesting night, Tony, as the Crusaders exerted a lot of energy just to get to this game and survived in advance on Monday night.
It's funny, definitely a roller coaster of emotions with Healing off to that 6-0 lead. And Lamar is a great job of batting the back by the Bulldogs to make that a game. Extremely competitive. I know Coach Osborne didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I did in the press box. But it was taxing. But, you know, in life you have some challenges and you overcome those challenges, and it makes that victory even sweeter.
And we are out at West High, so if you're looking for the game and you found yourself at Lewis and Clark Park, the X is our home tonight, but we'd rather have you here at West High School to see these two local teams go battle at it. And for my money, this might be the top 3A game of the state tonight.
It really is. And thanks a lot to the X's management. I went to them and said, hey, you know, this is the punch to ticket to state, and they were more than able to work with me to bring me here. So thanks to the X's, and just excited. This has been a summer of baseball for me, but this is exciting right in front of us. And we are basically positioned probably, what, 15 feet away from home plate?
If that were just, we can see right down the first base line, like Tony said, right off the mound. So we have a good vantage point tonight. Not that we didn't the last two nights at Lewis and Clark Park, but West baseball field looks in pristine condition, as this is the third straight year that that West has hosted a sub-state final. I think that's the first 3A sub-state final that they've hosted. They've hosted some 1A and 2A in the past, I know, but I think this is the first 3A sub-state final that the Wolverines are taking home too.
And of course, we have a lot of Healing fans right behind us in the stands, and a lot of parents from Sergeant Bluff brought their own chairs, so we've got a packed place here for a venue in this great sub-state final. So Healing and Sergeant Bluff coming your way. First pitch is slated for 7 p.m. It looks like we're pretty much on schedule for that, too.
Yep, it'll be a three-man umpiring cruise. The umpires have entered the playing field, and let's take a look at the SBL lineup for this sub-state championship game. Leading off for the Warriors, it'll be number 11, Tanner Clean. He'll be out in right field. Number 4, Gavin Warren, will be the third baseman. Hunter Rector, who got banged up a lot in the doubleheader down there that we called, he'll be the catcher and hitting in the number 3 spot. Parker Luchin will be wearing number 1 and being the shortstop and being the number 4 hitter for the Warriors. Braden Kerr will take to the mound and hit 5th. Hitting behind Kerr will be Alex Wilson. He'll be the DH for Evan Spanel, who will be in center field. Tate Lopswald will hit 7th. and play at second. First baseman tonight will be Gavin Merrill for the Warriors, and rounding out the lineup for Sergeant Paul Fluton will be Braxton Van Meter, and he will be playing out in right and left field. Tony has the healing lineup for you.
Of course, starting off for familiar face and George Chabanos, he's playing left field, followed by Jaron Bleeker. What a season he's had. He's in right field in the second position. Caleb Lefevre will be the DH, batting third. Batting cleanup is Brady Baker, patrolling the center field for the Crusaders. Fifth position is Sean Schaefer, the shortstop. Ethan Erickson, the first baseman, will bat after that. After one Erickson is another Erickson, Raiden Erickson, behind his familiar spot behind the dish. Second base, Carson Fitch, batting eighth. And the star of the game that sent us here, Hunter Wahab, with that single that scored Ethan Erickson from second, is playing third base, and he'll bat ninth. Connor Sitzman is on the bump to start for the Crusaders. Of course, the DH will favor, so Sitzman will not hit, but definitely looking for a strong outing. Who looked extremely comfortable and in command when we had the game Friday at Lewis and Clark Park.
And he's going to try and pick up where he left off. He's going to make it sixth start of the season. He's got an ERA at 1.25, so he has had a heck of a season, as has most of the team, because most of the team can't pitch, but the entire pitching staff has had a whale of a season, and we'll talk more about that as we get along through the evening. We'll give you the lineups one more time, and of course, the first pitch right after this two-minute timeout and the pregame prayer from Father Travis Karate. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Class 3A Substate 1 Championship game here on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Barclay Asphalt of Sioux City provides for all of your asphalt and gravel needs. We supply top quality products to both big and small businesses. With our team, you will always receive excellent customer service. To find out more about Barclay Asphalt, you can call 712-255-1848. McClintock Insurance. We are a family-owned independent agency that was established in 1962. We offer coverage for personal auto, homeowners, umbrellas, boats, motorcycles, RVs, your commercial business, bonds, and life insurance. To find out more, you can call 712-277-4600. McClintock Insurance, located at 908 Pierce Street in Sioux City.
Verity Group is a regional certified public accounting firm with an office in North Sioux City. Tim Sweeney has more than 35 years helping people and businesses with their financial needs. The knowledgeable team at Verity Group will help you manage your finances in a professional and personal manner. Please call Tim at 605-242-6617 for more information. Tim is a 1979 graduate of Bishop Heland Catholic High School. His children have graduated from Heland, and his grandchildren are currently in the system. Verity Group CPA is a proud supporter of KFHC and Heland Athletics.
Hello, listeners. I am Father Travis Crotty, the chaplain of Bishop Heland Catholic High School. As we prepare for this athletic competition with the Crusaders, we want to take an opportunity to offer a pregame prayer, keeping in mind the safety and the enthusiasm of all sporting events for the safety of our own students and those of our opponents. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, listeners, and go Crusaders.
You're listening to FM 88.1, KFHC, Ponca, Sioux City, and KOIA, Storm Lake, Siouxland Catholic Radio.
And now, back to your Crusader sports on your Catholic radio station.
Zach James, Tony Michaels, Abby DeMars with you here from West High School. Public address announcer Justin Barker just getting ready to finish the introductions for the Crusaders and the Warriors. The Crusaders are being introduced right now, and he just introduced Wahab, so we'll pause for a second and let you listen in to a playing of the Star Spangled Banner.
Thank you.
And a really nice crowd here applauding the national anthem and their respective teams as we're almost ready to go here with a state qualifying baseball here from West High. Let's go over the SBL lineup one more time if you didn't hear it in our first segment. It'll be Clean, Warren, Ector, Luchin, Kerr, Wilson, Lachwald, Merrill, and Van Meter. And they'll be facing off against Connor Sitzman, who, like we alluded to in the first segment as well, has had a whale of a season. He's pitching in his 10th game of the season. He's making his 6th start. He's won 5 of them. He's got a 1.25 ERA. His walk to strikeout ratio is 37-14. He's allowed 7 earned runs on 28 hits. And the right-hander is warming up right now. The Crusaders are in their home white uniforms with the gold undershirts. They're in their home white vest tops, pinstripes on the trousers, gold caps with a blue brim, blue lettering in Crusaders and the numbers in gold. The Warriors are also in their home white pants, black tops with the white sleeves, white numbering, and black and white hats on top of their heads. So we're almost ready to go here in this sub-state final game, and hopefully, Tony, it's not as dramatic as it was on Monday night.
And temperature-wise, could not ask for a better evening for baseball. 77 degrees right now. We do have winds about 8 miles per hour moving out to the right field pole, and it gusting up to about 12 miles per hour. So wind will be not much of a factor here this evening.
Like it was last time we were here.
It was about 45 miles per hour last time we were at West High. So this is nice because it won't factor in, and the broadcast quality should be much better.
Yes.
And once again, thanks so much to Abby DeMars for all of her work back in the studio for tonight's game.
And to Luis Torres and Vega Billings for also helping out throughout the summer as well. Thank you to those Bishop Heelan students for helping us get on the air here on KFHC 88.1 and SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com. Here comes Tanner Clean to the plate, and Sitzman's ready to go in the windup, and the first pitch of the evening is low and inside for ball one.
And you'll hear a lot of great crowd participation tonight. We are in the middle of the crowd. And
we literally are in the middle of the crowd. The 1-0 is a breaking ball swung on, popped foul literally over our heads to even the count at 1-1.
I continue my streak of parking nowhere near the field.
I didn't either tonight. I parked close to the softball field this evening. 1-1 the count here. Sitzman, the righty, working from the windup, winds and deals and throws a fastball on the outside corner just below the letters, and the count goes to 1-2. Clean, a junior, and he swings one into left, and that'll fall for a hit, and that's how this game gets started.
We may have a bit of a delayed reaction if there's anything hit to our left side, left field. Third base might take a beat as we're right behind the dugout for Heelan. But this is a great setting. It'd be interesting to see if Sergeant Bluff works the count a little bit, as pitch count will be concerned.
That's going to be a huge thing tonight, as Jaron Bleeker will not be available for to come at in relief tunt. And a bunt attempted by Warren. He pulls the bat back as the ball is high and outside, 1-0.
Ethan Erickson holding on the runner at first base as he takes 5 steps off first base.
Warren hitting .254 on the year, a left-handed hitter, as was Clean. Sitzman checking on Clean, but the throw's a little bit high, too high for Erickson to apply a tag. Sitzman working from the first base side of the rubber, gets set at the letters and throw a fastball on the outside corner at the belt. 1-1 the count. No score here, just getting started in this Class 3A Substate 1 championship game. Sitzman checking the runner over again, and he gets back in time.
Great sight to see. You can see Sergeant Bluff fans from home plate all the way out to the foul pole with their lawn chairs.
And lots of cars in the parking lot, even in the high school lot. Beyond the outfield fence, as Warren puts down a pretty good bunt. Sitzman fields it cleanly. Throw to first is in time. So the ninth sacrifice by Warren advances Clean over to second for the first out of the game.
Great job getting off the mound once again by Sitzman. He had to charge. That was a pretty tight play. Textbook bunt. And the grass is nice and lush here. So if it was to get into the turf, it might kind of slow it down into the grass.
Really nice job here by the West coaching staff, keeping their field in pristine playing condition. And there's a reason they've hosted three sub-state finals in as many years. Here's Hector. And he sees a fastball on the outside corner, takes it for a strike, 0-1 the count. Runner at second, one down here, top one. Sitzman shaking off a sign, now gets one he likes, gets set at the letters, and Hector swings one into center. Baker gets a good beat on it, makes the catch. Clean thought about going, but he'll retreat back to second, and that'll be the second out of the inning.
That's a big out, too. Hector has some power. He's the leading home run hitter on this Sergeant Bluff Luton team, so he got a hold of that one, but Baker was camped out underneath it, so a nice second out, and he'd love to see Luchin retired here to get out of the top of the first inning.
And here comes the junior shortstop coming up to the plate, hitting .227 on the year, 20 driven in. He's got 27 hits. All but four of those have been singles. The other four have been doubles. Schaefer and Fitch checking on Clean. Sitzman looks at him too, but he throws home, and Luchin fouls one off the chain link backstop here for strike one. Beautiful night here at West. Sitzman awaiting the sign. Gets when he likes, gets set, looks back at Clean. Now throws a breaking ball home, but it gets away from Raiden, and that'll allow Clean to advance 90 feet. And now the Warriors are 90 feet away from putting the first run on the board.
It looked like Erickson had a handle on it, just went off the very end of his glove and trickled away probably about 7-8 feet, allowing Clean to get down to third base without a throw.
2-1 the count here. As Clean hits right-handed. Ready on righty, the pitch swung on, line drive foul down the first baseline to even the count, 2-2.
We've got a great vantage point of the foul line here as we're looking straight down that first baseline. And you can see a little tail on that one, too.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a fade on that one.
Luchin definitely made some nice contact with that as he is the cleanup hitter for Sergeant Bluff.
The 2-2 swung on, and it's just gets a piece of the seam. And I mean, literally, Luchin got a seam on that ball as it was a sweeper that tailed low and away, and Luchin stays alive.
And you can really kind of hear the foul tip from our perspective here, just enough to stay alive.
Infield playing back with two outs. So it's been looking for one more strike to get out of the inning, and he just misses the corner on that one, and the count goes full of 3-2.
You can tell the crowd is hanging on every pitch. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
This is
buckle up here on Catholic
atmosphere.
Radio.
Fun atmosphere. It's where, as Tony said, we're literally in the middle of the crowd. The 3-2 swung on, fly ball center field. Baker's right there, though. He'll make the catch to retire the sign. So Clean gets on with the leadoff single, but Sitzman gets out of the jam with three stray outs, and we head to the home half of the first with the Warriors 0 and the Crusaders coming to bat.
Got to like how that started off. Thanks a lot to some of our great sponsors, including Sioux City Musketeers, Dave Pepin Real Estate, and Verity Group, CPA LLC. Of course, you can join us as we are calling all men. You're invited to the 2024 State Knights of Columbus golf event that happens at Whispering Creek Golf Course in Sioux City. Date on that is Saturday, July 27th. Lunch will be served at 11:30. Shotgun start at noon. $100 per person, includes 18 holes at lunch. Reserve your spot today. You can send in your form and your payment. The tournament is open to all men of the parish. You do not need to be a member of the Knights of Columbus to golf. So call 253-8728 to learn some more information on what would be perfect conditions for either 18 holes of golf or, of course, Sergeant Bluff and Heelan to get to state.
Yes, and you can still register for the tournament. Still go to the state tournament and watch the Crusaders if they make it, then make it back home in time to play in that golf tournament at the championship games. And all four classes will be on that Friday. Class 1A and 2A will be next week in Carroll. Class 3A and 4A will be in Cedar Rapids at Veterans Memorial Stadium, home of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. But in the meantime, we're in the process of figuring out who one of those Class 3A teams will be. It'll be Chibanos, Bleeker, and Lefevre due up for the Crusaders as they'll face Kerr on the mound. And on the season, Kerr pitching He is 6-2 on the season with a 2.04 ERA. He's recorded 56 strikeouts and walked 25. I just realized Tanner Clint's and Brayden Kurtz's pitching stats were almost identical. The first pitch at the bottom of the first, it's a ball called high, 1-0. Chibanos awaiting the 1-0, and the pitch is a sweeper that tails outside, 2-0.
Chibanos has done great in that start-off, lead-off position. We'll see if he can continue that trend.
The senior hitting 345 as he pops one up down the first base line. I think this will end up in foul territory, and it barely will for strike one.
Abundant sunshine, just a few fluffy clouds ahead, and ideal conditions for this Wednesday night matchup.
Don't have to protect the equipment of any rain tonight. Just a nice breezy night as there is a nice breeze blowing in from center field. Kerr awaiting Ector's signal. He gets it. The pitch. It's a fastball high. 3-1 the count. How big would this be if Chibanos reached base with a leadoff walk? And the 3-1. He takes it high for ball four, and that's exactly what happens. And the Crusaders get their leadoff man on via the walk.
It gets some of the best average hitters, average perspectives with Bleeker, LeFevre, and Baker, 2-3-4 in the lineup. So this is definitely a primo opportunity for the Crusaders.
And here it's Bleeker hitting 370. He's driven in 33. And he'll be a straight position player tonight as he's ineligible to pitch, as he pitched just too many pitches on Monday night. But you know what? They were all very, very needed. Chibanos taking about an 8-foot lead over at first as Bleeker swings at that pitch and lines it right back up the middle. That's the first hit for the Crusaders. And now they're getting something going here as the crowd gets a little louder and louder behind their Crusaders.
That was almost hit too hard. Chibanos had to hustle down to second base to avoid the force out because that was absolutely barreled out to center field.
Here's LeFevre stepping into a left-handed batter's box. Awaiting Kerr, who gets set at the belt. Checked on both runners and throws a fastball on the outside corner at the knees for strike one.
Gotta like your 2-3-4 hitters batting. Yep. 370, 380, 318.
Yep, that's a good formula. LeFevre awaiting the 0-1, and he takes a ball high. Ector had to come out of his crouch to field that cleanly for ball one. 1-1 the count here, no score, 2-1 here, bottom one. Winner goes to the state tournament. Kerr looking back at Chibanos at second, now throws it home, and LeFevre swings and misses, and both base runners were going on the pitch. So a hit and run opportunity, and the Crusaders almost executed it, but we'll have to try again.
How many times have we seen that double hit and run throughout the course of the season?
Many.
Coach Osborne loves putting those runners in action. Almost paid off there.
LeFevre looking for his first hit since Friday night. He was 0-2 on Monday night. Kerr taking an extra second to make sure he gets the pitch he wants. Now sets. Deals. Breaking ball just a touch outside. And the count is 3-1. LeFevre hoping to get on here and load the bases for Baker. Kerr checking the runner. Now deals, and LeFevre swings and misses at that breaking ball for strike three. I beg your pardon. It was not 3-1. It was strike three. And there's the first out of the bottom of the first. Like Tony said, we can't really see the scoreboard here, but we'll adjust as we need to. Here's Baker. And the pitch is well high for ball one.
Good job just getting to that by Hunter Ector, who's a gem of a defensive player for Sergeant Bluff.
Yes, one of the better defensive catchers in the conference, if not Class 3A. Kerr looking back at Chibanos. And the pitch is high and popped up, but it's going to land in foul. Basically where we were broadcast, not far from where we were broadcasting earlier in the season here at West. And the count goes to 1-1. Bleeker's not even getting held on at first, so he can take as big of a lead as he wants, and he does. He's taking about an 11-foot lead back at the plate. Baker takes ball two.
That could be key if we get a gapper here. Bleeker could definitely score from first base.
And he can run. From what I heard on Monday night, so can Ethan Erickson. And the pitch. Breaking ball swung on a miss. Nice pitch there by Kerr. The even the count at 2-2.
Yeah, had a little late action drop on that. Very difficult pitch to hit.
Kerr's hoping to get his second out here with via the strikeout while Baker is trying to get that big hit. 2-2 the count, the pitch. Swung on, and there's a line drive to right. That's going to fall. Chabanos is being waved home. The play won't be made at the plate. Chabanos scores. It's an RBI single for Baker, and the Crusaders are on the board 1-0.
And Bleeker was able to go first to third on that one because of that nice leadoff, and he had a good jump on it. So we've had a walk and two singles and 1-0 advantage for Helan.
And just like they did on Monday night, another strong start offensively for Helan. And they led 6-0 in that contest. And it ended up being a 9-8 instant classic. Here's Schaefer.
Could we see a squeeze here by Schaefer?
He doesn't swing around. He takes ball one high and inside.
Thought that might be in the toolkit. He is probably the best bunter on the team for the Crusaders. Could be a way to get that second run across.
Runners at the corners, bottom one in this Class 3A Substate 1 title game. Breaking ball low and outside, 2-0.
Good hitter's count for Schaefer. He can look for something to drive. Of course, Sackfly would also score that runner from third.
Schaefer, left-handed hitter, a senior wearing number one. Baker is being held on, and he dives back as Kerr checked on him. And if you're Sergeant Bluff, I'm sure they're not panicking because of what happened to Helan Monday night. So, yeah, they don't want to be behind, But I'm sure they will not lose their composure as Kerr throws a get me over for a strike, 2-1 the count. Runners at the corners. Chabanos with about a 6-foot lead over at third, and Baker has an 8-foot lead but has to slide back again as another pickoff attempt was held. Baker on the season, stolen base wise. And Schaefer takes a ball outside for 3-1 the count. Baker is 19 of 21 for the season. As he takes about another 9-foot lead, he's extending it a little. And the pitch home is swung on and just gets a piece of it as Baker was running on the pitch. And the count goes even, 3-2.
Do you expect Baker to take off again here?
I think so. 3-2 the count, one out. Baker's got some speed. Schaefer is a good contact hitter. I would not be surprised if head coach Andy Osborne calls a hit and run. And there he goes, and it's a swung on and another foul tip. And Schaefer just gets a very incy-bitsy part of the ball, and we'll do it again.
He just kind of dribbled that one probably 7-8 feet behind him and just barely stayed alive. At first I thought maybe it got away from the catcher, which would have allowed the runner to get second and probably not a play at home.
Schaefer awaiting the 3-2 as Baker probably will go again on the pitch. He doesn't, and Schaefer fouls off another one and is quickly turning this at-bat into a quality at-bat.
And getting that pitch count up, too.
Yep, that's also important.
That could be very key on Kerr.
Ethan Erickson on deck. Kerr working from the middle of the rubber. Sets at the letters. Now throws again over to first. As Baker has Kerr's attention, undivided, well, not probably not undivided attention, but he certainly got his attention. The 3-2, and Schaefer takes ball four low, and the bases are loaded for Ethan Erickson, who hit a homer on Monday night against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and that was an absolute bomb at Lewis and Clark Park over the Pioneer Bank signage out at Lewis and Clark Park. That cleared it with about 5 to 10 feet to spare. So he's definitely got the power. The wind will be blowing in a little bit for Ethan Erickson, but you like to see him send something deep to get that runner home from third.
And I'm sure that impressed the X's players too, and maybe even manager Steve Montgomery. The first pitch that Erickson sees is high and inside for ball one. Want to know the count here? Bases loaded. Crusaders already with a 1-0 lead.
Crusaders have been very selective in early pitch counts here this evening.
Bleeker, your base runner at third, Baker, your base runner at second, and Schaefer, your runner at first, as Erickson swings and misses at that off-speed offering and evens the count, one ball, one strike.
Erickson not getting cheated. He is definitely a full swing attempt.
Kerr's getting set. He's working from the stretch, throws a fastball, and Erickson fouls it off back directly behind the backstop, and the count goes to 1-2.
And you can hear the ting, a nice contact made by Erickson. Just looking for his pitch, but he's also going to have to protect here with two strikes.
Righty on righty. Probably we'll see another off-speed pitch here. Kerr delivers, and he throws a fastball, and it's lined just down the first base line, just out of the reach of assistant coach Ben Taylor, and we'll do it again.
Ben Taylor showed some nice dance moves over there in the first base coaching box, able to get out of it, but that one also has some velocity behind it, so Erickson's definitely giving it his all at the plate.
I wonder if TrackMan picked up Erickson's homer on Monday night. I just thought about that. The 1-2 is outside to even the count. Two balls, two strikes.
It looked like it was the upper register of the strike zone, too. Looks like Ethan asked the ump for some verification. He got it. Now he's set to go.
The 2-2. Fastball well on outside, and now Kerr's got to come home and throw a strike, or it's a 2-0 game.
This is where you feel the nerves. Full count, bases loaded, one away here in the bottom of the first inning. You would love to see some scores, some runs scored for Helan.
And the payoff, swung on, line drive right field, making the catch. It's the right fielder, and the throw home is a dart, so no one advances, so it's just a fly out, and now there's two away. Nice catch and play made out there by Clean.
Yeah, Tanner Clean, he's definitely got a rocket arm, and he showed it off there. Great idea by Ethan Erickson getting something out in the outfield, just not quite deep enough to score the runner from third.
Now here's Raiden Erickson. Erickson was 0-3 on Monday night, and he takes a ball outside. Oh, it is a foul tip. 0-1 the count. Kerr still working from the stretch for two outs. Breaking ball offering, and it's called inside. 1-1 the count.
Didn't miss by much.
And the 1-1. Breaking ball caught the outside corner for strike two. Erickson hitting .283. He's driven in 19. Seeking his 20th or more RBI here. The 0-2 fly ball center field. That's going to fall in the infield. One run scores. They're going to wave around a second. The play home is not in time. Erickson advances his second on the play. It's a two-run single, and it is 3-0 Crusaders.
Great job by Baker, not giving up on the play at all. He got a good leadoff from second base, able to score from second as he got the go sign, the green light at third. And that's two big runs for the Crusaders.
Bleeker and Baker score on the play. Schaefer moves to third, and now that'll move the line for Fitch. The eighth man hitting here as Drew Ewell will come in as a courtesy runner for the catcher. Big two-run hit there by the senior catcher.
This is why you come back as a senior. For moments like this, they'll remember this for the rest of their life.
And these seniors are hungry to go to state. They've been close many times as Fitch takes a strike on the outside corner. Crusaders haven't been since 2019. My first summer here. The pitch. Swung on and missed. Foul tipped. 0-2 the count.
Two runners in scoring position, second and third. A single here by Fitch would really go a big way in extending this lead.
Infield playing back with two outs. The pitch, Fitch takes it well high as that pitch was at eye level. 1-2 the count.
This is already the eighth batter of the bottom of the first inning for the Crusaders.
And the pitch is getting away, but here comes Schaefer. He comes home. The slide is called out, and Schaefer just could not get there in time. So Schaefer caught stealing of home, but I don't mind that. I don't mind the aggressiveness at all. And the Crusaders get out of it with three runs there in the first inning. We're 3-1 Bishop Heelan 3, Sergeant Bluff Luton 2nd. We'll head to the second right after this 60-second timeout. You're listening to the Class 3A Substate 1 Championship game here on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio.
Calling all business owners. What kind of a workplace are you creating? Are your employees excited about coming to work each day? Do you really know? Being intentional about creating a highly engaged and rewarding workplace is an important strategy to retain your team members, create accountability, and grow your business. At Action Coach XL Edge, we teach how to grow your business through your people to get real results, all with a unique guarantee. Let's get connected. We're online at xledge.actioncoach.com or find us at 712-251-7189.
I'm Dr. Tanner Ferguson, and I'm a surgeon here at Vance Thompson Vision. I grew up in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota. I went to high school in Sioux City. After high school, I went to Morningside College. Here at Vance Thompson Vision, we are committed to delivering world-class eye care and surgical vision correction for patients, both vision-restoring and vision-enhancing procedures, and that's what makes this profession so rewarding.
For more information, call 531-625-3941 to see how the most advanced cataract procedures can create new vision for you.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Top of the second here for the Warriors, and it'll be Kerr, Wilson, and Lastfall due up here in the second, facing off against Sitzman, who only threw 15 pitches in that first inning. We'll see if he can be just as efficient here in the top half of the second as the ball is swung on. Erickson, a great hustle trying to go get that ball, but it landed in the SBL crowd for strike one.
Bullpen will be a little bit light for the Crusaders. Probably think Ethan Erickson, Sean Schaefer,
yep.
Possibilities in the bullpen.
Brady Baker, possibly. So it's been working from the stretch, and his 17th pitch of the night is swung on, fly ball right field. Bleeker got a good jump on it. He'll make the catch for the first out.
He really had to get on his horse there as he moved probably 15 yards to his left to chase that down. Great athleticism on display by Jaron Bleeker.
That'll bring up Wilson, serving as the DH for Spannal. Wilson on the season, hitting 226 for 12 driven in. He does have one of the eight homers for the Warriors, and we won't mention when that came. The pitch, low and inside, 1-0. I just realized that.
I think we saw that one, yeah.
Yes, we did. We did. The 1-0. Fastball. Just called a little bit low, 2-0. Coach Ben Taylor asking Chibanos to back up a couple of steps out and left the pitch. In there for a strike, the belt. 2-1 the count. Sitzman working quickly, the pitch swung on and missed to even the count at 2.
So far, Sitzman has 3 flyouts and 1 ground ball for the 4 outs secured so far.
Sitzman looking for his first K of the night, and he almost got it. As Erickson thought he swung, they'll check down to third, no swing for ball 3. Nice pitch there by Sitzman, trying to get Wilson to bite on the breaking ball in the dirt. Everything a natural playing field here. The 3-2 is called strike 3 on the inside corner at the knees. And there is the first strikeout of the night for Connor Sitzman.
Perfectly placed right on that outside corner. Could not have dialed that up any better. So fantastic job. Connor Sitzman showing that composure that we saw him have on the mound at Lewis and Clark Park this past Friday.
Here's Lotswald hitting 252. He's driven in 15. The right-handed hitter swings and fouls one off back towards us. Only one in the count.
It was almost like The Natural hit the light stanchion. I don't know if enough people have seen the movie The Natural.
I actually haven't. As a
baseball
aficionado as I am, I have not seen The Natural. The 0-1. Sweeper low and outside to even the count. Righty on righty. Sitzman working from the windup and the pitch. Sweeper just a touch outside again. Ball 2.
The pitches he's missing is not far off the strike zone, which is where you want to be.
No, he's playing around with the corners, which is what you want to do. The 2-1. Fastball a little low and away, 3-1.
You have a great defense behind you. I'd love to see Sitzman put something in play and get him swinging.
Lotswald has only been walked 6 times this summer. The pitch in there for a strike just below the letters on the outside corner to make it a full count, 3 balls, 2 strikes. And everybody playing normal depth, the 3-2 breaking ball. Called strike 3 on the inside corner just above the knees, and that retires the side. 3 up, 3 down for the Crusaders as they'll come to the second with Wahab, Chibanos, and Bleeker due up.
Of course, thanks so much for joining us here on Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1. We have so many great sponsors we'll get to in just a quick moment here. But a little reminder that the Bishop Hall of Pride ceremony is due up September 21st at the Sioux City Convention Center. Tickets for that will be on sale soon. The five will be inducted are Mike Lemon, class of 1970, Chad Hying from class of 95, Andy Krueger, class of 95, standout basketball player Brennan Kugel from 09, and great softball player Jordan Sitzman from the class of 2010. Date on that is September 21st at the Sioux City Convention Center. I'd like to thank some of our great sponsors today, including Central Bank in Sioux City and Storm Lake, Fibercom, Folk Brothers, Keller Williams Real Estate Agent Tammy Bertrand, Lightform, Mills Shellhammer Pitts & Associates, Prime Bank, St. Augustine Indian Mission, and Security National Bank.
Turn my mic back on. Thank you to those of you who support Healing Athletics here on Siouxland Catholic Radio throughout the entire season, and hopefully we'll have to read off some of your names next week.
That's definitely our hope and desire.
Here, the first pitch of the bomb, the second is a strike right down the middle to Hunter Wahab for strike one.
Yep, Carson Fitch.
It'll be
still
Fitch
up.
Again. That's right. It is Fitch again. Here's a wild pitch. Fitch. Bunt one down the third baseline, and it's a beauty throw over to first is in time. Ooh. But that was a great effort by Fitch. It was a great idea. It was a really nicely placed bunt if the Warriors defense was just somehow ready for it.
And interesting because the grass here is a little bit longer, so it did die, and it was a perfect placement. And he was hustling down to first, just thrown out by a half step.
Now here's Wahab. And he takes a fastball just below the knees for strike one. Kerr working quickly from the windup, throws a fastball high, 2-0.
Wahab had the memorable hit on Monday at Lewis and Clark Park that sent us to this action tonight at West.
You missed that place on the Bishop Healing Athletic social media feeds as Wahab takes ball 3 high and inside. If you're also a Game Changer subscriber, it's you can get that vantage point from that, too. The 3-0, ball 4 high, and Wahab walks on 4 straight. That'll flip the top of the lineup back to Chibanos, who got the 3-run rally started with a leadoff walk.
Love to see all the runners on the base pass early on for the Crusaders, definitely getting that pitch count up.
Kerr having to go back to the stretch again as he threw 39 pitches in the first frame. He throws ball 1 high, 1-0. Chibanos, state champion in soccer, hopefully to end his Crusader career the same way. Runner goes, swung on a miss, throw down to second from Hector, is not in time. So Wahab gets a stolen base. Now the Crusaders already have a runner in scoring position again for the second consecutive inning.
That was a nice toss down by Hunter Hector. The throw was close, but Wahab was able to slide right underneath. So a runner on scoring position, second base, as Healing with an early 3-0 lead.
1-1 the count here in the second. And the pitch is swung on slowly back up the middle, fielded cleanly by the second baseman. Throw, which just barely in time. That'll move Wahab over to third for Bleeker. And that ball wasn't too hardly hit. I mean, and Rostwald didn't come in and charge it. I'm a little surprised he didn't. And the throw over to first just beat Chibanos by maybe a step.
So Wahab is on third on that play, so a productive out.
Yes, very much so. That's a good point. Bleeker swings on that breaking ball. That's going to bring home the run. The throw across the diamond is in time. No, that was with two outs. My apologies. But so the Warriors get out of it. Even with putting a runner at third, and we're through two here at West High. Crusaders lead 3-0. Tony Michaels will tell you about the third, the fourth, and the fifth after this 60-second timeout. You're listening to a Class 3A Sub-State 1 championship game here on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Verity Group is a regional certified public accounting firm with an office in North Sioux City. Tim Sweeney has more than 35 years helping people and businesses with their financial needs. The knowledgeable team at Verity Group will help you manage your finances in a professional and personal manner. Please call Tim at 605-242-6617 for more information. Tim is a 1979 graduate of Bishop Heelan Catholic High School. His children have graduated from Heelan and his grandchildren are currently in the system. Verity Group CPA is a proud supporter of KFHC and Heelan Athletics.
Hello, this is Nick Hagerty, Heelan Class of 1996 and Market President at Prime Bank. Whether you attended Heelan yourself or sent your own children to Heelan, your family became a part of the Heelan family. Well, it's the same way at Prime Bank. When you bank with Prime Bank, we make you feel like family. Our staff works with you to make sure all your banking needs are met with our outstanding accounts, great rates, and a staff you know and trust. Make Prime Bank your bank and be a part of the Prime Bank family. Member FDIC.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio
top
station.
Top of the third, here's Tony Michaels.
Thanks so much, Connor Sitzman on the mound. This will be his 30th pitch of the game to Gavin Merrill, who puts this one right down the line. It'll hit the first base bag. Ethan Erickson, bare hands, it steps on the base. One pitch, one out. Pitch number 30 was magical for Connor Sitzman.
And it did hit the white part of the bag, which is important, because if it hit the orange part of the bag, because they have a two-bag safety apparatus here in the high school level, and it hit the white part of the bag, Erickson reacted to it very well, and all he had to do was step on the bag.
That's probably the easiest put out Ethan Erickson has had since a coach pitch at Headed Little League. So Braxton Van Meter is up for Sergeant Bluff, who waits this delivery from Sitzman. Fastball right down the middle of the plate. 0-1 count on Braxton Van Meter. Van Meter comes into the game batting 227. Sitzman's been very composed throughout the course of the game. Off-speed pitch off the plate. Evens the count at 1.
Sitzman at 33. This will be his 33rd pitch of the evening.
This delivery from Sitzman, swing and a miss by Van Meter, an early 1-2 count. Sitzman, of course, struck out two last inning, both looking. We'll see what Van Meter does here for Sergeant Bluff. Sitzman, delivery, off-speed, strike three, and actually hit the turf a little bit, so they have to tag him out as Raiden Erickson does that. That's a big strikeout. Strikeout number three for Sitzman, and we have two retired here in the top of the third inning.
Really efficient inning so far for Sitzman, and a really nice pitch to get Van Meter to chase on that one.
Top of the order, dangerous hitter Tanner Clean coming into the game batting 427. The left-hander puts this one right behind us, and as I lovingly refer to it, the snack shack behind us. Other people call it the concession stand. So it hits the concession stand. That's an early 0-1 count on Tanner Clean.
A lovely green snack shack here at West High.
Clean looks at this one in the dirt to even the count at 1.
And I'm sure the snack shack is busy with a big crowd like this on a night like tonight.
Sitzman looks at Clean, gets a signal, now full delivery. Clean check swing, that'll be strike 2. Sitzman's got to love this 1-2 count already on the most dangerous hitter for Sergeant Bluff Luton, Tanner Clean. Last time up, got a single to get things started here at West High. Sitzman, delivery, swung on, and this is into the outfield. Baker will track it down, lead at just a single for Tanner Clean, but he is on fire so far early in this game. 2 for 2 with two very hard hit singles.
There's a reason he's a leadoff guy for the Warriors. He just sets the tone, and even with two outs, he's still finding a way to get something going here for the Warriors.
So bring up the third baseman, Gavin Warren, coming into the game batting 254. As Tanner Clean takes a five-step leadoff off first. Sitzman now from the stretch. It's popped up and
it's
out of play.
Behind us. It's back towards the equipment shed next to the snack shack.
So 0-1 is the count on Gavin Warren. Gavin Warren, another left-handed hitter for Sergeant Bluff.
Erickson holding Clean on at first.
Sitzman off speed. Strike outside corner. Oh, this is fun. 0-2 count on Gavin Warren. Sub-state action. This is the final to see who moves on to state. Throwback to Ethan Erickson. No tag applied as the runner Clean is able to dive back safely.
And Clean did that his first on base appearance, too. Got distracted Sitzman a time or two.
Delivery just off the plate, off speed, just outside. Count now is 1-2 on Gavin Warren, who's got to protect with two strikes. We are positioned right next to the Helan dugout. They are hanging on every pitch. Hopefully you are as well here on Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1. Sitzman gets some cheers from the stand as he is in the stretch. Delivers, swing and a miss, and that was a foul tip. And Raiden Erickson held on to it. So the second strikeout of the inning. And just like that, Helan is out of danger as we'll head to the bottom of the third inning. Crusaders on top 3-0 over Sergeant Bluff.
The Bishop Helan Gold Club golf outing will be on Friday, August 9th at the Sioux City Country Club. Make sure you sign up at bishophelan.org. We'll have a link for you there. It's under the Giving tab. It's also under the Athletics tab, but you can find it under the Giving tab. We have sign-up forms for you. We also have a general donation form for you. If you can't come out and join us on the 9th of August, $150 for an individual, $600 for a foursome. Bishop Helan full-time employees can get a ticket for $75, and you can buy your mulligans and pick-a-putts through that same donation form as well. So make sure you sign up at bishophelan.org today for the Bishop Helan Gold Club golf outing Friday, August 9th at the Sioux City Country Club in Sioux City.
If you watch baseball 6 hours a month, does that qualify as an employee?
Yeah, maybe. If you want to come, we'll find a way to get you in the door.
The last ball game I did, I felt like I was stealing money because it was such a great game. So we'll see what Caleb LeFevre does here in the bottom of the third inning. Last time out, he struck out in the first inning. Kerr delivers. Barreled up out to right field. That is a single to get things started for LeFevre. He's going to dream about that pitch in his dreams. It was right there. He hit it in between the first baseman, clean, and the shortstop, Evan Spandle, to get out to right field.
And he's done a really nice job of that, taking advantage of mistakes that the pitchers make, and that was a mistake right down the middle, and LeFevre lined it into right.
Left-hander stroked it out to right field. So I bring up Brady Baker, batting .318 on the year. Looks at the curveball in the dirt for a 1-0 start to this at-bat.
LeFevre with about a 9-foot lead over at first on that first one. Let's see if he extends it out that far again, and he's about 7 feet out this time.
And he's so tall, too.
Yes, he is.
As he dives back, that lanky frame back to first base. His 5 steps is like 10 of mine.
It only has to do is basically fall over, and he's there. So he can afford himself to give himself an extra foot or two.
1-0 to Baker. Just missed the plate. So now 2-0 to Brady Baker. A great hitter's count. See what Brady can do. Sean Schaefer on deck for the Crusaders. Chopped over to the shortstop. Goes over to second. Bang, bang, play. Gets the runner at second as LeFevre is out, but it does allow Brady Baker to get on board over to first base.
Which, if you're the SBL defense there, if you're Luchin there, you kind of have to pick your poison. Do you want to get the fast route at first or eliminate the lead runner? And Luchin chose the lead runner, but Baker's quick too, and he's capable of stealing a base or two.
Schaefer takes a cut at a fastball, misses 0-1 on Sean Schaefer. Braden Kerr from the stretch as he pauses for a moment as Sean Schaefer steps back into the batter's box. Big lead over by Baker, and I'm not the only one that sees that. Kerr tosses over to first base. Baker is easily back. This is swung on over the bag at first. That will allow Baker to get to third base. We have runners on the corners in the bottom of the third inning. Helan on top 3-0, and we have potential threat here for the Crusaders as they're knocking on the door of this opportunity.
And that ball was literally down the first base line. Merrill was right there to make the play, but I think the sun just got in his eyes a little bit, and the ball rolled just under his glove and allowed Baker to get that extra 90 feet as Warriors coach Matt Nelson's going to come out and calm down his defense a little bit.
Yeah, probably just a little summit meeting here to make sure the nerves are intact. And also, to go over the scouting report on Ethan Erickson. Ethan Erickson with 9 home runs on the year, including a big one, a 2-run homer at Lewis and Clark Park on Monday.
The scouting report is don't give him a meatball down the middle, and that's the scouting report, because he will lift it pretty much up the hill and left. But if he can lift one out in Lewis and Clark, he can pretty much hit one out on any ball field in this town. So he is definitely a threat. And maybe the Warriors are kind of talking about, do we want to walk him here because of his threat?
Kind of what they do with that Florida player, Jack Caglione. And he would get walked even when there was only one base open, even some cases with the bases loaded. So
you mean Kansas City Royals prospect?
Correct.
Jack Caglione.
Yes. He's moved on to the next stage. As the home plate up, breaks up the meeting. And this is high drama early in the bottom of the third inning here on Catholic Radio 88.1. We are perched right in front of the Crusader faithful here in the stands at West High, who has been a great host for this event. So Ethan Erickson with runners on the corners, first and third. Erickson has been creeping up that batting average, now up to .291, the right-handed hitter. Swings and misses. The runner is able to get down to second. The throw was to the second baseman who was in early, trying to cut off that runner at home. Brady Baker says, I ain't going nowhere. And so we have runners now at second and third. Baker at third, Schaefer at second, and Ethan Erickson.
They'll bring the infield in as Erickson swings and misses at that one. And maybe that's what the mound visit was, too. What do we want to do defensively here? And Helan read it well.
So Ethan Erickson has another opportunity as he steps back into the batter's box. Can he make things happen here? He hit it strong out to right field last time up. Change up down low, called for a ball.
Middle infielders are now playing fairly back. No, they're all on the lip of the grass at the infield. I thought they were moving back, but now they move back up.
Ethan Erickson looks at a fastball outside.
Even the three outfielders are playing fairly in, too.
Runners at second and third. Prime opportunity for Erickson. Fastball is bounced. We have a full count on Ethan Erickson. First base is now open, so you got to wonder if maybe Kerr will be extremely selective with what he gives the dangerous Ethan Erickson. Kerr from the stretch delivers. Erickson swings and gets a foul tip. Also looks like he might have turned his right ankle as he takes a second to walk it off. That's when you know you have your full might. Not only do you get a piece of it, but you also twist your ankle at the same time.
You swing out of your shoes almost.
Checking, those size 12 shoes are still on Ethan Erickson as he limps back to the batter's box, adjusts his grip on his DeMarini, and awaits this pitch from Braden Kerr. Full count, runners second and third. Bottom of the third inning, Crusaders up 3-0. Kerr delivers. It's high, and Ethan Erickson gets a free pass to load the bases for his buddy, Braden Erickson. Braden Erickson is drooling at this opportunity. Bases loaded, one out in sub-state final against your rival, Sergeant Bluff. Braden Erickson batting .283 on the year. He did get a single last time up. First pitch is a fastball, just misses for a ball. And you think the attention is definitely in that right arm of Braden Kerr for Sergeant Bluff from the stretch. Braden Erickson swings, and this is out of play as that one was skyward, and definitely got a piece of that.
Infield still playing in for the Warriors. Outfield playing pretty much where they were in the at-bat against Erickson, too. So the Warriors hoping to knock down a ball, but Radim wants to get it through the infield and bring one or two of his buddies in.
Braden Erickson checks swing. Did he go?
Why are they checking to? I was going to say, why are they checking to the umpire at second? They should be checking to the umpire at first, and then they eventually did check down there.
And there was no swing on.
There was no swing.
Okay, so we have a 2-1 count on Braden Erickson at the dish, awaiting this from Braden Kerr. Deliberate in his motion. Now from the stretch, delivery to Braden Erickson. Curveball misses high. Count now is 3-1. A wayward pitch will mean an RBI for Braden Erickson the easy way. We'll see what he can do here. Kerr from the stretch high, and just like that, another Crusader marches in with consecutive base on balls to Ethan Erickson and Raiden Erickson. The score now is 4-0 advantage, Heatland over Sergeant Bluff.
And that's Raiden's third RBI of the night already. So really nice night by the catcher. Baker scores. He's being greeted by his teammates and coaches. And it is, like Tony said, 4-0 game. And Jewell comes in to courtesy run once again for his senior catcher.
So now bases loaded for Carson Fitch. Batting 250 on the air. Laid down a great bunt last time up. Fastball over the plate for strike one. O-1 is the count to Carson Fitch. Bases loaded. Swing and fouled off right in front of the Sergeant Bluff faithful gathered to the right of the first base bag.
Pitch count, what do you think?
I'm going to say pitch count is elevated, probably 47.
This will be his 70th pitch of the night.
Oh, so close. 70th pitch for Braden Kerr. Guess I'm better with the Sitzman count than I am the Kerr count. But that makes sense because this is almost three times through the order for the Crusaders. Fitch looks at a fastball outside, just missed. 1-2 on Carson Fitch. Hunter Wahab is on deck for the Crusaders.
Kerr with just 36 strikes out of those 70 pitches.
Fitch turns away from a fastball inside.
And that was they called a balk.
Thank you. That was a balk. I was confused as to what was going on. So with the balk, that makes the score 5-0 Crusaders. Runners now at second and third. At first I thought it was weird because I thought maybe they misguided the count and that's why he was coming in. But the balk was called, and that definitely rattles Kerr a little bit on the mound.
And I think they were saying, hey, Kerr just didn't pause long enough on the set. And you have to pause at least one Mississippi.
So it's back to a 1-2 count on Carson Fitch as that pitch obviously did not count. Fastball outside, just missed. Count evens at 2. Runners at second and third. Crusaders already on top 5-0 over Sergeant Bluff. Swing on and miss. Carson Fitch goes down swinging for the second out of the inning. That'll bring up Hunter Wahab, the ninth place hitter for the Crusaders. This will now mark three times through the orders for the Crusaders. Last time up, he walked.
So basically once an inning on average, which I'm sure the Crusaders will certainly take.
He'll take that. Wahab swings and puts this one in play. Popped up to the third baseman. Under it, no problem, is Gavin Warren, who charges it near the pitcher's mound. So pretty effective inning there for the Crusaders. Score is now 5-0, and we have three complete innings in the book. We'll take a one-minute timeout here on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio 88.1.
Barkley Asphalt of Sioux City provides for all of your asphalt and gravel needs. We supply top-quality products to both big and small businesses. With our team, you will always receive excellent customer service. To find out more about Barkley Asphalt, you can call 712-255-1848.
Hi, I'm Neil Pfeiffer, Knights of Columbus Insurance General Agent, serving Catholic families in the Omaha and Northeast Nebraska area by providing them life insurance, disability insurance, and long-term care insurance, as well as retirement and legacy planning. Contact us today at 1-800-379-0180 to find out how we can protect your family. 1-800-379-0180.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Crusaders lead 5-0 here in the top of the fourth here at West High. Zach James, Tony Michaels, Abby DeMars in our Sioux Lane Catholic Radio studios. And two up for the Warriors. It'll be Hector, Luchin, and Kerr. And here, back with the play-by-play, is Tony Michaels.
Hey, thanks, Zach. As we spent a lot of time this summer hanging out, and it's been
fun.
It's been absolutely fantastic. Top of the fourth inning, as you mentioned, 3-4-5 hitters up for Sergeant Bluff. Hunter Hector has shown power with four big homers on the year for Sergeant Bluff. He steps in, the right-handed hitter. against Sitzman. Sitzman sidearms and stroked over to Sean Schaefer, who throws it over to Ethan Erickson for a 6-3 putout. One pitch, one out in the top of the fourth. That's going to be nice for his pitch count.
That's some efficiency right there, yes. That'll help his pitch count. Let me see what he's at pitch count-wise, because he's in much better shape than Kerr is. And his pitch count is, I'm getting the Game Changer feed to load here, and our pitcher here, we will be making his 44th pitch to Luchin.
The 44th pitch to Parker Luchin is a sidewinder into the dirt for a 1-0 count. Interesting, he's taken kind of some different angles on the mound. That one a little more from the side and ended up in the dirt, but keep guessing. Connor Sitzman now delivers full delivery over the top, and this one is fired just over the Sergeant Bluff dugout. Evens the count at one.
I would have flinched. Nobody flinched in the dugout. I probably would have flinched at that one.
These baseball players have no fear whatsoever.
They don't.
As the outfield pretty much straight away, a little bit shaking towards left and center. Fastball just off the plate. 2-1 is the count to Parker Luchin. He is the shortstop for Sergeant Bluff, who's a whiz out there in the field. We'll see what he does at the plate against Connor Sitzman. This one is fouled right in front of us. Judged by the reaction, he did not catch that. That was giving some chase was Hunter Wahab, but was unable to make the catch. So the count now runs full 2-2 to Parker Luchin.
Luchin, his first time up, flew out to Baker.
One out here in the top of the fourth inning. Helan on top, 5-0 over Sergeant Bluff in the sub-state final to punch our ticket to state. Connor Sitzman delivers in the dirt fastball, and that will run the count full to Parker Luchin. We'd definitely love to get Luchin out here before Braden Kerr enters the picture. He's on deck. Luchin, swing and a miss. That is another strikeout. Strikeout number 5 for Connor Sitzman. He looks so comfortable out there on the mound, doesn't he?
He really, really does.
He looked great Friday in the game we had at Lewis and Clark Park. He looks just as great, even more comfortable, even when the stakes are extremely high here at West High in the sub-state final. Braden Kerr batting 235 on the year for Sergeant Bluff. Looks at a fastball in the dirt. 1-0 is the count.
Sitzman is one of a lot of seniors who want to taste that state tournament feeling.
Sitzman can taste the opportunity. Fastball. This is over to Sean Schaefer. Sean Schaefer gathers himself over to Ethan Erickson. Nice stretch. Another 6-3 putout. So we have two groundouts to Sean Schaefer, and Luchin is retired by strikeout. And we'll head to the bottom of the fourth inning. Crusaders on top. 5-0 over Sergeant Bluff.
We'd like to thank a few of our sponsors who help us be on the air here on Sioux Wayne Catholic Radio, including Action Coke, Chiselle Edge, Bargain Center, Barclay Asphalt, Butch Dry Cleaners, Catholic Charities, Christina Martinez, CNOS, Dr. Ryan Meets, Christy Smith Funeral Homes, Culligan, and CyberCloak.Tech LLC. You're listening to Bishop Heelan Baseball here on Sioux Wayne Catholic Radio. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to 88.1.
You're listening to FM 88.1, KFHC, Ponca, Sioux City, and KOIA, Storm Lake, Siouxland Catholic Radio.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Zach James, Tony Michaels here on the west side of Sioux City for this Class 3A Substate 1 championship game between Bishop Heelan and Sergeant Bluff Luton. Abby DeMars is in our Sioux Lane Catholic Radio Studios, pushing the ones and twos for us here on this beautiful Wednesday evening. Due up for the Crusaders in the fourth. It'll be at the top of the order, Chibanos, Bleeker, and Lefebvre.
So sunset tonight is 8:59. In the next hour, we should find out if Helan is going to state or not. George Chibanos, of course, already has that state title in soccer, looking to duplicate that in baseball. Looks at a fastball off the plate, 1-0 to George Chibanos.
And a good chunk of these guys win the state championship game in football as well.
Chibanos looks at another fastball high, 2-0 And Kerr now over 70 pitches, correct, Zach?
Yes. This will be a 76th.
Fastball fouled off. Ooh, that one does hit the light stanchion. I knew it was going to happen, just like the natural. And that time it actually hit it. So we have the replication. A few of the people in the stands know what I'm talking about. The Natural, one of the best baseball movies. Top five, I think. I'm getting a nod from Dave Ferris. That one is over the plate, just missed, right?
Yep.
So that'll be a ball. I'm talking about the Natural. I need to see what the action is in front of me. Swing on, and this one is out of play.
That's what the X's should have done during that lengthy rain delay. It's just shown the Natural on the video board.
Absolutely. Chibano's ready for this one from Kerr. Off speed, off the plate. Free pass to George Chibano's over to first base. That was an impressive foul ball hitting the light. I don't think it still had light, so it didn't break anything.
We're fine. We've got lights.
Jaron Bleeker steps in. Last time up, he grounded out to third base, also single, so he's 1-for-2 on the day.
The lights are on here at West.
This is an aggressive swing over to the third baseman who catches it and doubles up Chibano's off first. So kind of a bad luck line drive by Jaron Bleeker. Hit it to the third baseman, Gavin Warren, able to catch it and throw it over to the first baseman, who is Gavin Merrill. So Warren to Merrill for the 5-3 double play, courtesy of lineout. That'll bring up Caleb Lefevre, the third place hitter for the Crusaders, batting 380. Last time up, single. They also struck out. He's 1-for-2. Lefevre, fastball outside, and that's a 1-0 count on Caleb Lefevre. Brady Baker on deck for the Crusaders. Fastball just misses low, 2-0 to Lefevre. Favor of the DH tonight. Hitting for Connor Sitzman, who's on the mound. Fouled away, 2-1 to Caleb Lefevre.
And you have heard that foul ball hit the fence if we were here with the crowd, Mike, last time out, because it basically hit right there where we were.
Fastball over, evens the count at 2 to Caleb Lefevre. Fastball called strike 3. Lefevre did not swing. And so a quick 1-2-3 inning for the Crusaders, but they are still on top 5-0. We'll take a 1-minute timeout here on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio 88.1.
With Dave Pepin, buying and selling real estate is a stress-free process. Dave has helped more than 700 families with their most valuable asset for over a decade. Dave is not only consistently one of Sioux Lane's most accomplished and trusted realtors, but he is a Catholic man, a fourth degree Knight of Columbus, and your Ramsey trusted agent in the Siouxland area. With Dave Pepin, you have a friend you can trust with all of your real estate needs. Visit DavePepin.com or call 712-635-5945.
We would like to thank our friends Brad and Jean Mollett and their family for their continued support of Catholic Radio and Bishop Heelan Catholic Schools. Mollett Industrial Group is a proud supporter of your Catholic Radio 88.1.
You're listening to FM 88.1, KFHC, Ponca, Sioux City, and KOIA, Storm Lake, Siouxland Catholic Radio.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Welcome back to West High. That's the site of this sub-state final as Heelan is looking to punch their ticket. Off to a good start, 4 complete innings. Heelan on top, 5-0 over Sergeant Bluff as Alex Wilson, Tate Lofswald, and Gavin Merrill will be 1-2-3 for Sergeant Bluff. Sitzman is dealing out there. Fastball just off the plate. Called for a ball, 1-0 to Alex Wilson. Wilson has some pop, hit a homer earlier in the season. Left-handed hitter looks at a fastball outside. Count runs to 2-0. Sitzman has not been behind a whole lot of hitters so far this evening. Sitzman working quickly, full delivery. Wilson looks at a fastball. That one off the plate, too.
Sitzman wants that outside corner.
3-0 now to Alex Wilson, who's looking to get on board to start something for Sergeant Bluff. He does just that, as a walk is issued to Alex Wilson over to first base.
And all four of those pitches were good spots, just missing a little bit. Maybe if it was an automatic ball strike system, maybe a couple of those pitches were called strikes. But if it's going to be called a little bit tighter, Sitzman needs to adjust to that.
Brayden Erickson is a great leader for this team. Just went out just to calm down Connor Sitzman. He's pitched a gem so far.
He has.
As Tate Loswald is up, bats 252, is the second baseman for Sergeant Bluff. Sitzman now from the stretch, fastball misses high, 1-0. As he gets some encouragement from the Heelan faithful behind us, count now 1-0 as Alex Wilson takes the lead off first base, held on by Erickson. From the stretch, fastball missed again, 2-0. Like you said, these pitches are not missing by much, matter of a couple of inches off the plate. So 2-0 count to Loswald. Sitzman delivers high fastball, 3-0. That's now seven consecutive balls by Connor Sitzman as he takes a deep breath, steps off the rubber, now back on the rubber as he pitches to Loswald. Taken all the way, that's a get-over strike, 3-1.
Gets a Bronx cheer behind us. Not directed at Sitzman, though.
Loswald fouls off the pitch here out over the stands. And I should say the Sergeant Bluff parents and fans that are gathered in lawn chairs. Kind of looks like Saturday in the Park here a little bit. As we see lawn chairs all over. No bleachers on the stage, but we do have Connor Sitzman on the mound with this full count. Fastball over his head. And Brayden Erickson chases it down. The runner will simply go down to second. Wilson at second. Tate Loswald now with that walk at first. And we have a quick meeting here. Andy Osborne wants to get a little tutelage there on the mound, calm things down as the entire infield for the Crusaders will gather and have a quick little meeting to kind of calm the nerves a little bit.
While Osborne is meeting with his team, we want to remind you to listen to Faith in Action on your favorite podcasting platform, thanks to Marriage Choice, a Sioux City Pregnancy Resource Center. If the Crusaders do win, they'll play next week. I believe on Monday is the quarterfinal round in Class 3A. So be out on the lookout for that. State bracket should come out either later tonight or first thing in the morning. Got to get there first.
Gavin Merrill is batting 238. He is the first baseman for Sergeant Bluff. Runners at first and second. No outs here in the top of the fifth inning. Sitzman, after that quick meeting with Andy Osborne, throws a fastball. That's a good meeting because he fired a strike right over the plate. 0-1 is the count on Gavin Merrill.
Exactly what you want to see coming out of a mound visit.
Sitzman has looked extremely comfortable until this fifth inning with two walks. Now delivers fastball off the plate. 1-1. I know the Crusader faithful wanted that one to be called for a strike. There's a few disgruntled looks behind me here, but the count is 1-1 to Gavin Merrill. Sitzman a little more deliberate in pace as he looks back the runner at second. Now delivers fastball off the plate, 2-1 to Gavin Merrill. The ninth place hitter, Braxton Van Meter, is on the deck for Sergeant Bluff. And then we have perhaps the most dangerous hitter in the Metro, Tanner Clean, in the hole. So I'd love to get Merrill here if possible. Runners at first and second, 2-1 offering. It's a swing and like a
no nope, call foul. The ball first hit the batter's box, so it's automatically dead.
I was going to say, it almost looked like a bunt as it came off, but it was called foul. So 2-2, the count is even to Gavin Merrill. And a bit of a break there by the Crusaders.
I think so, too.
I think they probably would have got him at first easily, would have moved the runners over to second
and
third.
It would have worked as a swinging butt, essentially, and Coach Matt Nelson wanted to make sure with the home plate umpire that it did hit the batter's box, and I agree. I think it did, too.
2-2 count to Gavin Merrill. Fastball missed off the outside corner, so the count is full. Runners at first and second. Sitzman already gave up two walks, and now a full count to Gavin Merrill.
Erickson playing in at first. The other three middle infielders hoping for a double play.
Sitzman, fastball. This is swung on and into the outfield. Brady Baker will pick it up in center field. The runner does not score, so we do have a bases-loaded situation as Wilson over at third, Offswell at second, and Gavin Merrill now with that single reaches first base. Just got out into the outfield. Brady Baker did a good job charging. And all these outfielders for the Crusaders,
they have
rocket
arms. They have arms.
Especially center and right. No one wants to run on Baker, and with no outs, that was a smart decision. So Braxton Van Meter, ninth place hitter, bases loaded for Sergeant Bluff. You know they're not going to go quietly into the evening as we're at the sub-state final here at West High.
Both corner infielders are playing in. Both middle infielders are playing double play depth.
Sitzman from the stretch, fastball. Over for a strike, strike one. That's going to build the confidence for Connor Sitzman, who's had a little bit of blood pressure concerns here with a walk, walk, and single to start things off. No outs, top of the fifth inning here on Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1. Van Meter swings and misses. 0-2 the counts. Can Sitzman retire Braxton Van Meter? We'll find out as he steps out of the batter's box, collects his thoughts, now back in.
And this is a mandatory strikeout situation, too.
Sitzman, fastball, swung on and popped up. Raiden Erickson chasing after it. Did he get it? He did
not. No.
Diving attempt and almost ran into the dugout. This is where it's on full display, max effort. Of course, he does that all year anyway, but especially tonight in the sub-state final. As he adjusts his left shin guard.
He almost got there, too.
He really did. And it probably got about maybe 12 feet off the ground total. And he was booking it over there to the dugout for Sergeant Bluff. But we'll go back and do it again. Once again, two strikes on Braxton Van Meter. You know Connor Sitzman wants this one. It means so much not only to him, but everyone on this team. From the stretch, fastball, strike three called. He goes down looking for a pivotal first out in this top of the fifth inning. That was some guts.
And that works wonders, too, because now the middle infielders can actually play for a double play. And if Wahab wants to, he can play an extra step back or two if he wants to, too.
Bad news is Tanner Kling can absolutely destroy the baseball. He's 2-for-2 on the day with two very hard-hit singles. Bases loaded for Tanner Kling from Sergeant Bluff. Left-handed hitter awaits this one in the dirt, fastball 1-0 to Tanner Kling.
Nice stop there by Raiden Erickson to make sure that ball didn't trickle towards the backstop and bring Kerr home.
And we have a huge backstop here at West High.
Bring Wilson, home. And yes, there is a big backstop. There is a lot of foul territory here.
1-0, the count to Tanner Kling. Fastball misses low, count now 2-0. A premier hitter's count for Tanner Kling. In case you're just joining us, it was 427 entering the game. He's higher now with those two big singles. Tanner Kling with a little bounce and a step. He is salivating, waiting for this opportunity for Sergeant Bluff. Connor Sitzman in the stretch. Fastball just off the plate. That is 3-0. Borderline for sure. I know the Heelan faithful behind us wanted that to go a different way. But 3-0 the count on Tanner Kling. Does he have the green light?
Down 5-0, he might.
Fastball, missed. And Tanner Kling will get an RBI the easy way as he gets a walk to bring in Alex Wilson from third. So bases still loaded. Coach Andy Osborne coming up. This might be, yep, this is the trigger, and it looks like maybe Sean Schaefer will get the call. Or
we'll
Wahab.
See here. Wahab doesn't have very many pitches to use, but Sitzman's done. We know that. But he pitched extremely well.
He really
had
did.
Had four solid innings, got the out first out there, and he's getting a round of applause, as you can probably hear behind us from the Heelan faithful. We'll tell you about who's coming up right after this 60-second timeout. You're listening to the Class 3A Sub-State 1 Championship game on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Mills, Shellhammer, Pitts & Associates. Going with a local independent agency means that they will take the time to understand your situation and budget. Let Mills, Shellhammer, Pitts & Associates discuss your options and design something that is right for you. Located at 117 Pierce Street, Sioux City, Mills, Shellhammer, Pitts Associates, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio.
Hello.
Mama, how are you today?
I suppose so, okay today.
Have you taken your medicine today?
I got it in my hand, just trying to get the dang thing open. Oh, shoot. I just dropped them all over the floor. I can't even see where they all went. You know, I sure could use some help around here.
Tri-State Nursing offers home care from 2 hours to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call today, 277-4442.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
After throwing 33 pitches on Monday night, Hunter Wahab retakes the mound on this Wednesday night as the Crusaders lead 5-1 here in the top of the fifth. Zach James, Tony Michaels, Abby DeMars in our Siouxland Catholic Radio studios. And the Warriors still have the bases loaded with one out, Tony. And Wahab comes in to try and extinguish this small little fire that the Warriors have built.
I tell you what, these Healing games have been exciting. That game on Monday at Lewis and Clark Park, you got your money's worth, and this is shaping up to be that way too, with the Healing a 5-1 advantage. But Sergeant Bluff is coming back. So Wahab on the mound. Sitzman will segue over to third base. And up for the Sergeant Bluff Luton Warriors will be Gavin Warren, who last time out struck out. He also bounced out to the pitcher Sitzman. So he is up, bases loaded. 5-1 is the lead for Healing. He shows bunt and pulls it back. Fastball is high, so 1-0 count to Gavin Warren. I think he was taken all the way there, Zach.
By the way, Wahab threw 24 strikes out of his 33 on Monday night against the Bulldogs at Lewis and Clark.
Gavin Warren now in his batting stance, left-handed hitter. Looks at a fastball, called for a strike on the outside edge of the plate. So the count evens at 1 to Gavin Warren. Dangerous Hunter Ector, batting 351 with power, is on deck for the Warriors.
Sitzman and Erickson playing in on the corners, breaking ball in there for a strike, 1-2 the count.
That was a nice off-speed pitch to make that 1-2, as we haven't seen a whole lot of that from Connor Sitzman. Nope. So this is definitely a different style from Hunter Wahab. 1-2, he'd love to get a strikeout here on Warren. Pitch on the way, off-speed. And just missed the plate, 2-2. I know a lot of Healing fans behind me did not think that was necessarily a ball. Borderline pitch. Count is even at 2 to Gavin Warren. Hunter Wahab in from third base on the mound. From the stretch here at West. Substate final. Fastball fouled off and out of play behind us.
Toward the sack shack. But that's a really great spot that Wahab threw it in high and inside, and Warren had to fight it off.
Bases are loaded for Sergeant Bluff. What would be the tying run at the plate? Swung on and out of play, and we'll do this one again.
Towards the media, I'm sure both TV guys are on the other side of our dugout.
Of course, you can see the highlights. We have both KTIV and KCAU here tonight.
And we've got Logan Shanks of the Sioux City Journal covering the game.
As we're in a modified press row right against the fence here. So Gavin Warren, left-handed hitter, looking to do some damage. Bases loaded. Hunter Wahab delivers high. The count is now full to Gavin Warren.
Logan, if you go to state softball next week, this is kind of what press row is going to be like, so anticipate that. If you're going to state softball, which Siouxland does have a few teams going to be playing in Fort Dodge next week.
Bases loaded, full count, Hunter Wahab to Gavin Warren in the dirt. That'll be another RBI via the walk as the score is now 5-2, Healing over Sergeant Bluff. Bases still loaded with one out for the extremely dangerous Hunter Ector, batting 351 on the year. He burned the Crusaders down in Sergeant Bluff with a huge hit. And, you know, he can recall that one in his mind. So
after getting smoked in the wrist, too.
That's right, after a very painful wrist injury. So Hunter Hector, right-handed hitter, awaits this from Hunter Wahab from the stretch. Off speed, swung on and missed. 0-1 is the count on Hunter Ector.
And I think Ector was swinging for leads on that one.
He absolutely was. Ector back in. He's got cruel intentions at the plate. Wahab off speed. Strike two called. Great job of mixing location and speed. He has him just where he wants him. 0-2 to one of the most dangerous hitters for Sergeant Bluff, Hunter Ector. Wahab from the stretch. That's a swung on and hit out to right field. Jaron Bleeker on his horse gets it right at the foul line and fires it homeward. And that was pretty impressive as the runner now goes to second. And the throw there cut off nicely by Sean Schaefer to stop the run from scoring. But that was another RBI, this time from Hector with that sack fly to Jaron Bleeker. I don't think any other Metro athlete would have sent that home.
Attempted the throw.
But Bleeker's like, I got a gun, I'm going to use it. And so we are now going to appeal to see if he
he's got to step off and throw it over.
Left early, we'll find out. As Wahab. Nope. So we'll count, and that'll be another RBI. So runners at second and third. Now with two outs. The strikeout and the sack fly, the two outs of the inning. As Parker Luchin comes up for Sergeant Bluff, the right-handed hitter. Off-speed pitch in the dirt. That is ball one.
Yeah, you're right. Bleeker would not have made that throw, and he threw it home, and then Wahab luckily was backing that up, and the runner, Warren, was going to second, and Erickson cut it off really nicely there, too. So really nice play there, defensive awareness there by the Crusaders.
Luchin looks at this pitch in the dirt. A great job by Raiden Erickson to stop it. Runners at second and third, Healing with a narrow two-run advantage. It's 5-3 in the sub-state final. Luchin, last time up, struck out, also flew out to Brady Baker in center field. Luchin looks at another fastball in the dirt. Wahab adjusts his hat and receives this back from Raiden Erickson, now with a deep exhale on the mound. This is why you play baseball, being the championship game to get to state. Needs a big out here. Parker Luchin awaits this from Wahab. Over for a strike right down the middle.
Needed that one.
Really did. Runners at second and third. To Luchin. Luchin heads over to first base with another walk. That is now walk number four of the inning. The score is 5-3. Andy Osborne going out. And we have another pitching change, and Brady Baker will be coming in from center field. So we're going to rely on the seniors. Brady Baker will be the next opportunity up. And do you want to take a break? You want to keep
it there? Let's thank a few of our sponsors here. Let's keep it here and thank a few of our sponsors here. Educatus, F&M Wealth Management, Matt Lawler, Fitch and Stately Law Office, Greenville Pharmacy, Gretkin Family Eye Care, Holland Lawn Care, Hospice of Siouxland, Jimmy John's, Lawler Fixtures, and the Matter Day Parish. Thank you to all of you for your support of Bishop Heelan Athletics. While Baker warms up, we'll take this timeout. 60-second timeout here. Crusaders lead 5-3 here in the fifth of this Class 3A Sub-State 1 championship game. You're listening to Bishop Heelan Baseball on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
People's Bank knows that game day is always exciting. One thing that all of our Crusader teams have learned is the importance of teamwork. That's a key success in banking, too. People's Bank employees work with you to make it a team effort toward your financial goals. You can stop at our Sioux City Morningside or North Sioux City locations. Here's wishing you the best from the team at People's Bank. Go Crusaders! People's Bank, where values matter. Member FDIC.
What makes your home, home? Is it a favorite reading corner? A growth chart on the doorframe? A bunk bed that doubles as a fort? Home is that feeling of warmth and safety, a place where you belong. At Security National Bank, we put thoughtful care and attention into helping you find your place. Not just any place, but your home. Because home matters. Security National Bank. Everything matters. Member FDIC.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
So here's the defensive substitutions as we got as Baker is warming up on the mound. He comes in from center to pitch. Carter Beck comes in to play second, and Fitch will run out to second, to center, rather, to fill that spot as well. So Baker to pitcher, Beck coming in from the bench to play second, and Fitch coming in to play center. So that's how it sets up here. And I think Waha back to third, and Sitzman comes out.
Correct. Sitzman is now in
the dugout. Done for the night.
Correct. That'll bring up Braden Kerr, the pitcher for Sergeant Bluff, batting .235 in the year. He grounded out to Schaefer, also flew out to Bleeker and Wright earlier. Score, once again, 5-3, bases loaded, two outs, and a pivotal situation here for Brady Baker. Baker, the right-handed pitcher on the mound from the stretch, delivers a fastball high and inside for ball one.
And Baker might have to get these last seven outs.
I think otherwise you'd be looking at probably Schaefer and Erickson, Erickson, as your next opportunity.
Potential seven-out save for Baker.
As Baker, from the stretch, delivers to Kerr. Fastball misses. The strike zone has been tight tonight.
It's been extremely tight this inning.
I think it was
a little bit wider, but the home plate umpire has called it especially tight here in the fifth.
2-0 is the count on Braden Kerr. Baker, fastball delivered down the middle of the plate. That's called for a strike. So the count is now 1-2 on Braden Kerr.
And I think the home plate umpire gets his third or fourth Bronx cheer of the inning.
One ball, two strikes. Delivery from Baker. Fastball off the plate. Just missed. The count now 3-1 on Braden Kerr. He's probably looking for his pitch as one should be over the plate here from Baker. Fastball, strike two called. Well, even the count, we are full. Bases loaded. Healing up 5-3. Sub-state finals here at West High on Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1.
Runners will go on the pitch.
Baker from the stretch. This is fouled off left side, out of play. So we'll do it again.
Baker electing to go with a breaking ball there. We'll see if what Coach Osborne, who's standing basically right in front of the press row, calls on this pitch. I would think fastball here, but then let's see what happens.
To quote another baseball movie, give him the heater, Baker.
That's Major League. I know that one.
Baker from the stretch. Bases loaded. To Kerr. Swing and fouled off once again. A quab here. Quality at bat by Braden Kerr as he is working that pitch count up on Brady Baker.
Baker gets a fresh one, rubs it up, and he's ready to go, working from the stretch, first base side of the rubber.
Braden Kerr awaits this full count delivery from Brady Baker. Off speed, ball. Another walk. That's the fifth free pass of the inning, and the score now is 5-4. The most narrow of margins for the Healing Crusaders. And up is the power hitting Alex Wilson, batting .227 on the year. He walked last time up, also struck out. Alex Wilson against Brady Baker. Baker from the stretch still with bases loaded. Wilson, fastball off the plate. 1-0 is the count on Alex Wilson. Of course, you'd love to see Baker use a very talented defense behind him. Who have been pretty silent with all the free passes, five free passes in the inning. Baker, fastball in the dirt, 2-0.
That nearly hit Wilson in the foot.
I'm sure Wilson would have happily have taken that one off the foot to even this game. As it is, hitters count, 2-0. Brady Baker exhales. You can see it here from this vantage point. Now looks in, steps off the mound as there's a quick meeting here with head coach of Sergeant Bluff with the home plate umpire. Not quite sure what this is about. Just gets clarification on something. Sean Schaefer takes the opportunity, another great leader on this team, to come kind of settle down Brady Baker. They've been through some fights through 4 years and more of baseball, and it all comes down to this.
There's a huge crowd sitting up on the hill behind, just directly behind us as I look back.
2-0 on Wilson. Left-handed hitter. Fastball outside corner called for a strike. Count now is 2-1 to Alex Wilson. Two balls, one strike. He is ready for this delivery. Brady taking his time on the mound. Baker now sets himself. Delivery. Swung on and foul tip. That is 2-2 on Alex Wilson. Crusader faithful would love to see strike three here. on Alex Wilson. High drama indeed at West High. Brady Baker from the stretch to Wilson. Wilson swings, strike three, swinging, and he goes down. Heeland maintains a 5-4 lead as we head to the bottom of the fifth inning. You're getting all the excitement here tonight as we see who goes to state. Will it be Heeland? We'll find out soon as we head to the bottom of the fifth inning.
Now the big question is, in the bottom half, is Heeland going to be the beneficiary of a tight zone? Are they going to be able to adjust to that offensive strike zone, or is a home plate umpire going to decide to expand it again? And I think the big key for Baker when he goes up is to gather that information right away. I would take a pitch or two at the beginning of the bat just to see the temperature of the home plate umpire, what he does in the bottom half of the game, because if the zone was the same in the top half, Heeland can add some insurance runs and kind of extend their lead a little bit, but if it's a little bit looser, that'll make a difference as Kerr goes back out for another inning.
And the Kerr's pitch count has got to be close to 85, 90 pitches right now, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's got to be up there. Let me see here.
As coming up for the Crusaders will be Brady Baker, Sean Schaefer, and Ethan Erickson. Actually, it'll be Baker up first for the Crusaders.
Kerr is at 85 pitches.
Okay, 85 pitches. Brady Baker, the right-handed hitter for the Crusaders, awaits this pitch. Fastball high outside, so 1-0 count. We'll see how patient the Crusaders want to be here, as pitch 87 from Kerr is a fastball, fouled off and out of play. Braden Kerr, one ball, one strike delivery to Brady Baker. Fastball near his head, 2-1 is the count on Baker. Baker did reach on fielder's choice and a single in the first inning. Fastball swings and off to the right side. Does it hit a car? It does not. 2-2.
But it does go to the crowd of kids that are hovering around the SPL bullpen. And I believe Wilson is warming up in the Warriors bullpen.
Count is even, 2-2 on Brady Baker. Would love to get an insurance run here. Off-speed pitch is barreled out to the third baseman, who gets it over to the first baseman. So that's Gavin Warren to Gavin Merrill. Gavin to Gavin connection. 5-3 put out for Brady Baker, but that was a hit extremely hard.
Yep, and there have been a few of those. Bleeker's had a couple. Now Baker has another one, and just need to find a way to get those rolling into the outfield.
Sean Schaefer has reached base twice, and the left-handed hitter smokes one foul ground ball, and it is retrieved by the first base coach there for the Crusaders. So 0-1 the count on Sean Schaefer, working quickly just off the plate. Count is now 1-1. It was a kind of a quick pitch there by Braden Kerr. Schaefer is ready for this 1-1 delivery from Kerr. Swing and a miss. Count is 1-2.
Kerr threw that breaking ball perfectly on the outside corner to get Schaefer to chase.
Until the pace is getting a little bit, Sean Schaefer wisely steps out of the box, adjusts his batting gloves,
yep,
and now into the batter's box to slow down Kerr. Kerr is in a hurry as he pitches this fastball off the plate. Count now is 2-2 on Sean Schaefer. Schaefer batting 261 on the year. Swing at the off-speed pitch, fouled off. Another quality at-bat by Sean Schaefer.
And it also, that one also went off the end of his bat, so Schaefer's making good contact, getting good timing, just needs to barrel it up and the line went down the first base line.
Sean Schaefer looks at a fastball that goes about 57 feet and bounces over the head of Hunter Ector. And so the count is full. We'll see how tight that strike zone is on Sean Schaefer as he awaits this one from Kerr, wicking quickly and swung on. This is hit hard into right field. Right fielder is charging and in foul territory, makes the catch, does Tanner clean. So that is a fly out to the right fielder for the second out in the top, excuse me, in the bottom of the fifth inning. Ethan Erickson with 9 dingers on the year. He would love to get an insurance homer here, although I would say he probably won't get a whole lot to hit here from
Braden
Kerr.
No, I don't think so either.
Not if he's done his scouting. We'll see what Ethan Erickson can do with Raiden Erickson on deck. Off speed, off the plate, 1-0 to Ethan Erickson. Ethan Erickson's like, I can go at this pace, no problem. Breaking ball over for a strike, 1-1.
Must have caught the outside corner. It was at knee level.
No fastballs whatsoever to Ethan Erickson. Another off-speed pitch, swing and a miss by Ethan Erickson. Count now, 1-2. It's been curveball, curveball, curveball on Ethan Erickson.
And he'll step out of the box to slow the pace down a little bit. His curve's all ready to go. He's set in the windup position.
Ethan Erickson readies for this one. In the dirt, off-speed once again. So we've seen four curveballs. Erickson was patient on that one, not chasing, and we'll get another opportunity. Braden Kerr has gone the distance so far. Swing and a miss by Ethan Erickson. He goes down swinging. So Helan, after five complete, still has the most narrow of margins. 5-4 is the lead over Sergeant Bluff. We'll take a one-minute timeout here on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio, 88.1.
Fibercom utilizes state-of-the-art technology for all of its services. Our network is based on fiber optics technology in combination with the traditional copper facilities and licensed true non-line on-site wireless broadband. We intend to stay on the leading edge of telecommunications industry. You can visit or call our local office anytime between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. Our technicians are always on call 24 hours a day. Fibercom is located at 1605 9th Street, Sioux City, Iowa. To find out more, call 712-224-2020.
Bulk Brothers, being in business for so long, has given us the opportunity to expand our horizons with the addition of home improvement services. Not only are we specialists in your home plumbing, we are an expert kitchen and bathroom remodeling team. Bulk Brothers offers additional outdoor services such as sprinkler systems, ponds, and more. If you have any questions, you can call 712-258-3388. Thank you, Falk Brothers, for supporting Sioux Lane Catholic Radio.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Top of the sixth here at West High between Bishop Helan and Sergeant Bluff Luton. The Crusaders hold on to a narrow 5-4 lead after the Warriors score 4 in the fifth, and now we're in the sixth. Here in this Class 3A Substate 1 final. Zach James, Tony Michaels, Happy DeMars in our Sioux Lane Catholic Radio studios as Baker's ready to go. Raiden had to get his gear back on, and he'll get a warm-up pitch, and we'll be ready to go here for the sixth. Due up for the Warriors in the sixth, it'll be Lobswald, Merrill, and Van Meter as they forced six walks in that inning, Tony, in the last inning, and got four runs out of it.
And sure, there wasn't a lot of really wild pitches. They were just off the plate, a couple of inches either way, very borderline pitches.
And I don't fault Sitzman or Wahab for trying to paint the corners. That's what you're supposed to do. You can't throw meatballs to its lineup, but that strike zone got a little bit smaller apparently in that last inning. Here's Loftwald in the first pitch. It's a ball called high, 1-0. Lobswald last time up was one of those six men who got on via the base on balls. The 1-0 fastball right down the middle to even the count, 1-1. Baker working from the stretch, even though it's a fresh inning, gets set at the belt, the pitch. Breaking ball on away for ball two.
And really the defense hasn't had a lot of ability to get people out. It's been mostly strikeouts and walks.
The pitch is called a ball outside for ball three. Pitch will look good from here. The 3-1. Fastball in there for a strike. Evens the count. Full count here.
There's even a bit of a delay in the strike call there.
Baker working quickly. The payoff. Swung on, lightly grounded, but Beck fields it cleanly. Throw is a little bit wide, and it forces Erickson off the bag. The first base umpire says Erickson was on the orange part of the bag, and he'll reach base safely to start the inning.
I think that most likely be a throwing error. I believe, on Beck, who just pulled Erickson off the bag. So, unfortunate way to start off this sixth inning.
Here's Merrill as Loswab takes about a 9-foot lead over at first. Now Baker does have to work out of the stretch. He'll check over to Loswab with a glance now with a throw. And the throw was tardy as Loswab slid in well in time.
You'd love to see a ground ball here to Sean Schaefer. Turn a quick 6-4-3 double play.
Double play would be absolutely huge in this moment. And the pitch is low and outside. Erickson had to get out of its crouch to make sure that ball didn't roll to the backstop for a ball.
Braden Erickson earning his merit back there as a catcher.
Yes, he is.
He's done great work all season long for the Crusaders.
Loswald taking about an 8-foot lead. Baker getting set, and now a bunt attempt and a fastball called a strike at the letters.
And Wahab was charging on that potential bunt attempt. He was almost even with Baker on the pitcher mound.
And Wahab's going to play in again. Erickson's holding Loswald on at first. Middle infielder's looking for a double play. Bunt attempt again. And Baker throws a fastball well high for ball two.
Two rivals tied in the sixth inning, Dakota State. This is exciting to watch and hopefully listen as well here on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Wahab staying in on the grass now, creeps in, bunt attempt, and it's a nice one right back to Baker. He'll throw over to Erickson for the easy out. So Loswald advances his second on the sacrifice. 1-3 if you're scoring with us at home, and that'll bring up Van Meter.
And Wahab had to make sure he's diligent to get back to third base to make sure that Loswald didn't make an attempt for third. So just a runner at second with one away for the ninth place hitter who has struck out both times up.
Once swinging, once looking. And Baker is hoping to get another K here. So he gets set, gets the signal from Erickson. The pitch, fastball swung on, grounded to Schaefer. He backhands it, throw to third, and he'll be called out in time. Nice awareness play there by Schaefer to throw it to third. And Wahab was ready to go on that one, and he applied the tag on Loswald to get the lead runner.
Yeah, Loswald was going on contact, and it was a bang-bang play, but that tag administered by Wahab. So big out there for the dangerous Tanner cleanup now.
Clean 2-for-2 with a walk. He scored once, and he's been at third, too, after his leadoff single in the first. And the pitch, breaking ball. Erickson knocks it down in the dirt outside, 1-0.
Kind of an unconventional way to get that second out, but boy, was that big. With the 6-5 put out, Schaefer going to his right just to make the play was great, and then the awareness to find out that he had the runner at third, and then a well-executed tag by Hunter Wahab. Good teamwork there by the Crusaders.
We have a pause in action as Erickson's earpiece of his pitchcom fell out of his ear. And the home plate umpire helped him put it back in his ear. And now Coach Andy Osborne, who's directly right in front of us, directs what pitch to throw in Erickson's ear. Baker accepts the call. He gets set, and the runner goes at first. The pitch is swung on and fouled off. They're going to call it a foul. So the runner has to go back in Van Meter, and Clean fouls it off.
And a nice jump.
It was a nice
off
jump.
First base, and that was a good job of getting a foul tip, and that negated what would have been most likely a stolen base.
Instead, the Van Meter stays at first as Clean awaits the pitch, and here it comes, breaking ball outside. Erickson has to again go out of his crouch to go grab it, and the count is 2-1.
You have to be careful here with Tanner Clean. You want to make sure nothing across the middle of the plate.
2-1 the count here, top six. Crusaders lead 5-4. Baker checking Van Meter over first, and he gets back standing up. Crusaders a few outs away from a state tournament berth. And the pitch. Fastball just misses the outside corner for ball three. 3-1 the count, and Clean signaled to Nelson to make sure it was a 3-1 count. Nelson said, yes, it is. Baker working from the stretch, checking on Van Meter. Now he'll throw over, and Van Meter only had about a 6-foot lead, so he crab walked back to the bag.
Pretty nice move, though, by Baker.
He does have a nice pickoff move. He does have as tall as he is, he can do that. Fastball just that high and outside, but probably not the worst thing in the world to force a walk on clean. Got a couple bases open for free. That'll bring up Warren, who has struck out. He's 0 for 2 with a walk.
Of course, everyone walked in the fifth inning just about with those six free passes.
With those six free passes, basically everyone walked in the fifth. Runners at first and second. Crusaders lead 5-4 here in the sixth. Two outs. The pitch. Fastball high and outside. Ball one.
Not missing by much.
No,
just a matter
not.
Of inches.
Not missing by much at all. And no, that's probably changing the pitch philosophy for Coach Osborne and his pitching staff. The 1-0. Fastball misses the inside corner for ball two.
On deck, the once again dangerous Hunter Ector batting 351 on deck.
Baker's getting set. Both middle infielders are focusing on Van Meter. The pitch is called a ball inside for ball three.
I think unless this one is right in the breadbasket, probably going to be selective with what he swings at.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think you want to green light it with two outs. Baker taking an extra second to take a deep breath. Now gets set and throws. Fastball called a strike on the outside corner. 3-1 the count.
Another delayed reaction. This is a high tension here at West High in the sub-state final.
Five to four Crusaders in the sixth. And the delivery swung on fly ball right field, but it's going to fade foul towards the fans who are sitting basically closer to the high school than they are home plate. And that's how big of a crowd we have here tonight. Like I said, a huge crowd behind the dugout on the hill. Bleachers are fully full. SBL brought their fair share of fans. Heelan brought, we'll say Heelan brought more just for the
I
heck
think
of
so.
It.
Yeah.
And, it's a great crowd here at West High. 3-2 the count. And Baker steps off to check on Van Meter, so we'll do it again. Whatever Osborne called that previous pickoff, I'd go right back to it, and honestly, I'd go breaking ball right here. Let's see if Baker does that. Throws a fastball high and outside for ball four, and that loads him up for Ector.
Ector batting 351 on the year. That is the second highest hitting percentage, trailing only Tanner Clean, as we have a quick meeting at the mound.
Baker at 35 pitches, he's thrown 16 strikes. Sitzman ended up at 75 pitches for 43 strikes, and Wahop threw 16 of them. Half of them were called strikes. And I think we're going to stick with Baker here, I think. Now, Erickson's going to come running in. Yeah, Raiden Erickson is. So we'll see what changes are being made here, because I think there are some changes being made. So let's do this. Ella DeMore is back in our studios. Let's take a 90-second timeout and come back, and we'll tell you about the defensive changes after this break. It is 5-4 Crusaders, bases loaded in the top of the sixth. We'll be back after this 90-second timeout. You're listening to Pitcher Peeling Baseball on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Since 1991, Sioux Body Shop is a family-owned and operated business. George started the business with just a small, dedicated staff and grew it from there. His son Costa came on board in 2001. The business uses the latest technology and equipment to stay up to date, like its laser measuring system. Sioux Body Shop is committed to offering its customers the best possible collision repair. Located at 501 West 8th Street, Sioux City, Iowa, you can call at 712-255-7172.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Borgers with Knights of Columbus Insurance at 402-750-4775, serving Catholic families in the West Point, Lyons, Pender, Emerson, South Sioux City, and Takema areas. By providing life, disability, and long-term care insurance, as well as retirement and legacy planning. Contact me today at 402-750-4775 to find out how I can protect you and your family.
You can take a swing at better vision with Gretkin Family Eye Care in Lamar's. Dr. Elizabeth Gretkin and the staff at Gretkin Family Eye Care are here to help everyone see their best, whether it's catching a pop fly or enjoying a day out at the ballpark. With comprehensive eye exams and custom fit lenses, Gretkin Family Eye Care is dedicated to making vision care accessible and personalized. You can learn more by visiting GretkinFamilyEyeCare.com.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Top of the sixth with the bases loaded, two outs. Crusaders leading 5-4. A lot of defensive changes here for the Crusaders. Raiden Erickson's coming in to pitch. Lefebvre's going to catch. Baker's back to center. And I believe there was one more.
Fitch is at second base.
Fitch is back to second base. So we've got all of that. And here's Tony to tell you about Erickson's pitching stats.
So Raiden Erickson has pitched 19 and a third innings. He is 2-2 on the year with an ERA of 1.81. And so he's allowed just 5 earned runs in those 19 and a third innings. He has given up 13 walks on the year.
So another pitcher for the Crusaders as they're trying to piece together and find these final four outs to get to the state tournament. And like you said, Tony, rely on the seniors. I mean, you can't rely on Bleeker, obviously, but rely on your other seniors to get the job done. Here's Ector as we have the bases loaded with two outs here in the sixth. Crusaders leading 5-4 over the Warriors.
Ector does have 4 home runs on the year. That's the leading tally for Sergeant Bluff.
Raiden hunches over. Gets set at the belt. Lefebvre behind the plate, and Erickson throws a ball high, 1-0.
Well, if anyone knows about the strike zone, it's Raiden Erickson.
Yep.
He's been up
that's
close
exactly
and personal
right.
As a catcher. Just misses that one, 1-0.
1-0 the count as Erickson gets set at the letters. None of the 3 base runners are being held on. They're all 4 infielders are playing back as Erickson gets a swing and a miss on that one to even the count at 1-1.
And the way the strike zone has been called, he might have been better served to hold the bat. That might have actually been called a ball.
1-1 the count here in the 6th. Crusaders leading 5-4. Erickson taking a while to make sure Lefebvre connects with him. The 1-1. Fastball just a little bit high, even though Ector's really tall, 2-1 the count. Ector on the evening, he's 0-2 with a sack fly. He drove in that sack fly back in the 5th. On a hard hit fly ball down the right field line, and Bleeker caught it and tried to throw it in. Ball 3 down low.
Did not miss by much. That was a matter of inches. So off the mound, getting some composure there is Raiden Erickson, and ready to take on this very crucial pitch.
Erickson looks in, gets set. He hunches over his glove, works from the middle of the rubber. 3-1 the count. The pitch swung on and missed by Ector. Ector again was swinging for leads and missed. And the count goes to 3-2.
He did not get cheated.
He did not get cheated. And the runners will go on the pitch. And this is a true payoff pitch here in the 6th. Lefebvre setting up on the outside of the strike zone, and it's low and outside for ball 4, and this game is tied.
So 3 consecutive walks issued to Clean, Warren, and Ector, and that, Zach said, will tie the game 5-5.
5-5 here in the 5th, so just like Monday night's game, a roller coaster of a game. And now Coach Nelson is electing to have a courtesy runner come on.
McGregor will be the pinch runner.
Casey McGregor wearing number 12. He'll situate himself at first as Luchin comes up. And the go-ahead run is 90 feet away for SPL.
Lucha batting just 227 on the year. Walked last time up.
He's 0 for 2 on the night outside of that. And Erickson puts one in the dirt, but it literally hits Lefebvre's glove and it dies for ball one.
Once again, big backstop here. Want to make sure you get in front of everything there. So Lefebvre did that and was able to keep it in front of him.
Erickson hunches over, now stands straight up, gets set, the pitch, fastball, called a ball outside, and the count goes to 2-0.
Luchin on the year has 16 walks entering this game.
Infield still playing back with two outs, and Lefebvre can't get connected on the pitch, and now he'll go talk to Raiden just to probably calm him down for a second.
Good news, Luchin only with four extra base hits. Those are all doubles. Otherwise, he has 23 singles, no triples, no homers. And so you want to make sure you go after him. Be aggressive with Parker Luchin. No place to put him, as we've seen three consecutive walks issued to Sergeant Bluff.
5-5 your score here in the sixth with two outs. Crusaders now having to try and navigate coming back again for the second straight time this week. The pitch, breaking ball, in there for a strike, 2-1 the count. Fitch and Schaefer not really paying attention to the runner at second, and both corner infielders are, again, playing back. But all three outfielders are playing in normal depth, too. The pitch. Fastball called, a strike on the outside corner at the letters, and the count goes even, two balls, two strikes. Erickson looking for that final strike to get out of it and to bring his boys back to the plate to try and score it and get those three outs in the seventh. Erickson looking back at second as he's set the pitch. Basically in the same spot, but this time it's called a ball, and the count goes to 3-2.
I think here you just want to make sure the defense plays behind you, even if you groove one here.
I think you need to groove one here. As much as I don't like saying that, I think Erickson needs to groove one here just to make sure it's a strike. The 3-2. In there for strike three. He does throw a breaking ball that catches the out of third to retire the side. So a huge strikeout for Luchin to end the inning. And the Crusaders come to their home half tied at 5. Let's thank a few more of our sponsors, including Meyer Brothers Funeral Home, Missouri Valley Land and Cattle, Mollett Industrial Group, New Crib Inspection, People's Bank of Sioux City, and Physical Therapy Specialists. Thank you to all of you who support Healing Athletics here on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio.
This would be a good time, as you can hear the crowd kind of getting into it. If you have Healing alumni that want to listen, make sure you tell them about it. You can listen to Catholic Radio, a number of different options, 88.1, of course, on the radio, SiouxLaneCatholicRadio.com, and just click on Listen Live. And then also the Sioux Lane Catholic Radio and TuneIn apps. You can also tell Alexa, find KFHC, which you definitely want to do, as this is high drama playing out in front of us. And, you know, this trip to state will definitely be guaranteed by one of these two teams who have both been giving max effort. As you see, the two coaches are meeting right in front of us. Nice display of sportsmanship with two good friends. Yep. And this is everything you hope for and more at West High.
Before Raiden Erickson comes up to the plate, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Pitcher Peeling Baseball on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio.
You're listening to FM 88.1, KFHC, Ponca, Sioux City, and KOIA, Storm Lake, Siouxland Catholic Radio.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
0-1 count to Raiden Erickson, and he takes the ball inside just above the knees. 1-1 the count here is we're in the bottom of the sixth. SBL and Healing tied at 5. The 1-1 caught a ball inside. 2-1 the count.
And Kurt is still dealing out there. That fastball probably upper 80s for sure.
The 2-1 from Kurt is a breaking ball down in the dirt, and Raiden gets quickly into a 3-1 count here. The 3-1. Fastball caught a strike right at the knees on the outside corner. Count goes full.
Good job of being patient. Make sure he pitches the strike.
The 3-2, and it is a strike, and Erickson just gets a piece of it as it goes into the wooded area behind the backstop, and the count stays 3-2. The 3-2. Breaking ball, called strike 3 on the outside corner. Erickson knew it, too, and that's the first out of the inning. That'll bring up Carson Fitch, the eighth hitter in the lineup. It's Coach Matt Nelson comes out, and I think that's Kerr's limit. I guess I didn't look at his pitch count, but we'll give it a look here.
It's got to be over 100. Quick. 105.
His limit is that it was his 109th pitch.
Ninth.
So he can pitch to Fitch, but Coach Matt Nelson is electing to go with Wilson as the first reliever of the night for the Warriors. So Kerr goes 5 1/3, excuse me, of 4 runs on 5 hits, 4 of them earned, 6 walks, and 5 strikeouts. We'll take this 90-second timeout and let Wilson do his warm-ups, and we'll be back with the rest of the 6 right after this. You're listening to Pitcher Peelin' Baseball on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Here at Wilma's Hardware, we're proud to provide a wide range of repair services for both equipment and home repair. We're happy to help with any small engine repair, garage door repair, and window and screen repair. We are located at 815 West 29th Street in South Sioux City, Nebraska, and 3025 Hamilton Boulevard. Thank you, Wilma's Do It Best Hardware, for supporting Catholic Radio 88.1 FM.
When you need a physical therapist, you always have a choice where you go. And Physical Therapy Specialists wants to be your physical therapist. Your care is important to us, so we provide one-on-one care to get to the root of the problem and set you up on a program to stay healthy. We provide post-op PT. We treat pains, including back, neck, knee, hip, and shoulders. We are experts in balance, women's health, and work comp PT as well. We are conveniently located at 915 Pierce Street in Sioux City and 317 Dakota Dunes Boulevard in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota.
Missouri Valley Land and Cattle Consultants started up in 1987 by Mike and Virgin. They specialized in buying and selling cattle. You can reach Michael Vischer at 712-251-4232. They're located in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota.
You're listening to FM 88.1, KFHC, Ponca, Sioux City, and KOIA, Storm Lake, Siouxland Catholic Radio.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Wilson comes in to pinch. Kerr goes out to right, clean, scoots over to center. Are your defensive changes for the Warriors and pitching-wise for Wilson? He's 3-3 on the season. He's got a 4.17 ERA. He struck out 53. He's allowed 28 runs, all of them earned. And Fitch is the first batter who will face him, and he nearly gets hit with a breaking ball for ball one. The 1-0 is a lefty throws, and it's a fastball called a ball inside, 2-0.
This lefty looks a lot like Hoag, who came in and did great work for Lamar's on Monday.
The 2-0. Pitching, fastball inside, called a ball, 3-0. And Ector's going to walk out in front of the plate for a second. Let Wilson cool off, and he'll deliver the ball back. And Ector is having a conversation with the home plate umpire, asking where that pitch was.
Probably a red light here for Carson Fitch.
I think so, too. The 3-0, and he does take a strike just to see one. No problem with that. 3-1 the count. The 3-1 swung on, fouled off, 3-2.
That one in the strike zone, definitely worth taking a whack at. So full count to Carson Fitch with Hunter Wahab to start Monday's game on deck.
Fitch waits. The payoff is way high for ball four, and the Crusaders have a base runner on here in the bottom of the sixth, tied at 5.
You see a little bounce in the step of Carson Fitch as he glides over to first base with that free pass. So Hunter Wahab, can he have back-to-back games where he does magical things? It was a sight to behold on Monday at Lewis and Clark Park. We'll see what Wahab can do here.
Wahab, the third baseman, and he's pitched tonight, too. He's walked, and he flew out. Wolfson deals and throws and nearly hits Wahab, but it's called a strike on the inside corner just below the hands. 0-1 the count. Wahab, I think, is well-adjusted now. 0-1 as he kind of chokes up on the bat a little bit, too. 0-1 the count. Fitch goes on the pitch. The ball pitch is called a ball, and Fitch is going to be called out on the pickoff play, and that's the second out of the inning.
Like the aggressive move there, but Ector is just a great catcher. Fired it down there. The throw beat him by probably two steps as there wasn't a whole lot that Fitch could do as he was thrown out. I like the aggressiveness, but now two outs for Hunter Wahab.
And now Wahab has to adjust with two outs with a 1-1 count. The pitch nearly hits him in the foot. Ball two.
Well, you know, Monday's game went to extra innings. I'm just saying. The possibilities were knotted up at five.
Man, it's true. The 2-1. Breaking ball swung on. High pop up in the infield. And making the catch is the shortstop, Luchin, to make the catch. As Wilson pumps his fist as he gets out of what could have been a jam. So we're through six. So it's Blufluten 5, Bishop Heelan 5. We'll be back with the seventh after this. You're listening to Class 3A Substate 1 Championship game here on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Hi, I'm Neil Pfeiffer, Knights of Columbus Insurance General Agent, serving Catholic families in the Omaha and Northeast Nebraska area by providing them life insurance, disability insurance, and long-term care insurance, as well as retirement and legacy planning. Contact us today at 1-800-379-0180 to find out how we can protect your family. 1-800-379-0180.
Splish splash, you'll be having a blast on a rubber ducky floating mat. Family fun under the sun, just don't forget your sunscreen and hat. When summer's near, so is the heat. That's why our mats just can't be beat. Splish splash all day long on a rubber ducky mat is where you belong. You'll be a splishing and splashing. Oh yeah!
Rubber Ducky is a proud supporter of 88.1 Catholic Radio and Bishop Heelan. Visit us at rubberducky.com.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
It's Raiden Harrison's job to have a clean seventh here, and he throws a ball inside with a breaking ball to Brayden Kerr to start off the seventh as we're tied 5-5 here at West High. The 1-0 fastball caught a low, 2-0 the count.
Erickson is absolutely firing some bullets there. Those definitely high-velocity fastballs.
The 2-0. Breaking ball. Caught a ball inside for ball three.
Looks like it took a little bit off that one to get it over the plate, but just missed south of the strike zone.
The 3-0. In the dirt for ball four. And another walk allowed by the Crusader pitching staff. And here comes Coach Osborne. I don't know if this is going to be a pitching change or a powwow. We'll see. Coach Osborne's looking out to the outfield. That's the tenth walk allowed by the Crusaders this evening.
Correct, 10 walks. Most of those came in the fifth inning with six free passes. But we had three last inning and then the one here this inning to lead things off.
So the Crusaders will use their fifth pitcher of the night, and it'll be Sean Schaefer taking the responsibilities as Lefebvre will probably go back out into the field, and Erickson will probably be the catcher once again.
And Schaefer has pitched 8 2/3 inning, and he has started one game. He has not had a single earned run on him. Of course, not many opportunities with just 8 2/3. But we kind of knew the bullpen would be the story tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Sitzman did a fantastic job getting us into the fifth inning and then stepped aside. And we've seen the bullpen now. Sean Schaefer, he's obviously been around a lot of baseball.
Yes, he has.
And he comes from a great baseball stock. I know I was on a Little League baseball team. His father was a coach. It was fun to see the father-son interaction. And he soaked up every nugget of information like a sponge. And it's kind of a fun moment to see Sean Schaefer in this premier spotlight, see if he can close things out.
And he's been in big spotlights. He's a state track qualifier, state football, obviously. So, yeah, he's been in big spots. It isn't foreign to him at all, these big spots. And now he's asked to deny SBL a run here in the seventh as we're tied 5-5.
And now will Raiden Erickson head back to catcher?
I believe so.
As we have a substitute catcher. Filling in just to take some pitches here.
Yeah, Peyton Erickson's coming in to warm Schaefer up. I'm sure Raiden's putting the gear back on. And Favor, I think, is going back out somewhere, would be my guess. Because so, he can't go back to DH, I don't think.
So early thoughts on what you've seen so far through now in the seventh inning.
What do you think? Now know what you went through Monday night.
It was funny because Helan kind of had a false sense of security getting off to that 6-0 lead on Monday. They had a lead here today as well, but Sergeant Bluff, just like Lamar's, comes scrapping back.
Yep.
And that, you know, this is going to be you know, kind of a tussle, and that's playing out in front of us.
And this is kind of what you see in a rivalry game. It doesn't matter the records, and the records don't matter at this time of year in the playoffs. And these two teams just play competitive games. They did a couple years ago in the sub-state final at Lewis and Clark, and they do in all other sports as well. But if you told me the score was 5-5 in the seventh, I wouldn't be surprised. But in the fashion how it happened, basically exactly how it happened Monday night, I probably would have been a little bit surprised in that regard. But here we go. This is what you want in a tight situation like we have right here.
So if the trend continues, we should expect Crusaders a 6-5 win with a Wahab walk-off if things hold
like they did Monday. Hey, I would take that.
And the order kind of works out. That is a possibility. So keep it tuned right here to Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 KFHC.
Here's Wilson to resume play here in the seventh. 5-5 is your score with a runner at first and nobody out. Schaefer's first pitch is a fastball outside 1-0.
You'd love to get that first pitch called for a strike just for the mojo of it all. But Wilson has struck out twice on the evening. Also got a free pass.
Schaefer, right heat, right-handed, checks the runner, and it was a good throw, but Kerr got back in time.
It's funny, that throw looked like a shortstop throwing over to first. He's kind of got same delivery, and like he was fielding a grounder over to Ethan Erickson.
It's just that bodily reaction that he's had over the last 15, 16 years. The pitch, fastball caught a ball outside, 2-0. Strike zone being called very, very tightly in these last few innings. The 2-0 breaking ball in there for a strike. And the home plate umpire gets another Bronx cheer.
Wilson steps out to kind of ruin the momentum that Schaefer has on the mound.
2-1 the count as the lights have taken full effect here at West High. The 2-1, and Schaefer checks on Kerr again, and we'll reset. Waha playing even with a bag of third. Erickson holding Kerr on, obviously. The pitch, and Wilson swings and misses through that breaking ball for strike two.
So where do you put this one? 2-2 count. Do you offer it down low?
No, I go upstairs fastball here.
Okay.
Schaefer gets set, and fastball goes where you thought it was going to go for down low, but it was just maybe an inch too low for ball three.
I saw it maybe coax into a possible ground ball double play, but full count.
And Schaefer forces a swing and a miss on Wilson for the first out of the seventh.
So the good news is that we do have the 7, 8, 9 hitters up for Sergeant Bluff, Loswald, Merrill, and Van Meter, and they have not been extremely effective, just one single on 9 plate appearances from those three.
And they've only forced what, one walk?
Yep, one walk.
One of the 10, the first pitch of the at-bat is called a strike on the outside corner, just above the knees, 0-1 the count.
It's kind of helped the confidence of Sean Schaefer. Not a regular pitcher throughout the course of the year. You know, when you see good things happen, more good things happen.
Schaefer looking back at Kerr, now delivers it home, and Lopswall swings and misses through that offering for strike two.
You know, Schaefer loved to get that second strikeout of Lopswald of the day. He struck out in the first. Can it happen again?
The 0-2. Fastball swung on, and it goes off of Lopswald's arm. It bounces down in the dirt and then hits him on the ricochet. And we'll do the 0-2 again.
And now with the 0-2, you can see if he can chase out of the strike zone, as he's going to have to protect. So you might have an opportunity here to get that third strike. Paint those corners. You don't want to groove one here, as you have the advantage, 0-2.
Schaefer kind of bending down at the waist. Now gets set at his chin, the 0-2. And Lopswald just gets under that one and fouls it off back behind the plate. And we'll do it again.
Nice protective swing. That looked like it was the upper part of the strike zone. May have been called a ball, but taking no chances. A defensive swing by Lopswald.
Here comes the 0-2. Fastball just a little low and outside for ball one.
Wilson taking about 4 or 5 steps off first base as he goes back, as Ethan Erickson is holding him on. Second baseman is shielding off to the second base area is Fitch.
And there's a fly ball shallow center, and there to make the catch is the shortstop for the second out.
That was a big one. So two outs, and you have Gavin Merrill coming up for Sergeant Bluff. Gavin Merrill on the year batting .238. He did have a single in the fifth inning.
Wahab making that catch is short. It's Sitzman's back at third. So around the diamond, it's Sitzman at third, Wahab at short, Fitch at second, Ethan Erickson at first. And the first pitch, 2 mil. It's a fastball high, about chin high, 1-0.
This is the most defensive changes we've had throughout the year.
Yep. You have to on a night like tonight. Coach Osborne having to dig deep in his pocket for lineup possibilities. The 1-0, and it gets past Erickson, so Kerr will move up to second on the wild pitch. That one's also a ball, 2-0 the count.
And that's you definitely don't want a runner in scoring position, as we're all tied up here at 5 with a single like Merrill had in the fifth inning. That could be a potential play at the plate situation here at West High in the sub-state final. This is exciting.
Schaefer taking an extra second to catch his breath, and he's going to retie his right shoe. Now he'll walk back up the hill and get set at the stretch position. Raiden giving him a sign. Now Schaefer accepts, gets set just above the belt. The pitch in there for a strike, 2-1 the count. 5-5 the score, tied here in the seventh. Crusaders out to an early lead, and then SBL roared right back. The 2-1. Fastball swung on a miss for strike two. And Merrill giving himself an extra second to collect himself.
Yeah, it takes a little mini lap there as he now steps back into the batter's box.
Schaefer getting set. Both mid infielders checking on Kerr at second. Now Schaefer looks back. Now deals it home. And misses the zone just barely on the outside corner for ball three.
And you can tell a lot of the Heelan faithful thought that was the end of the inning. That was as close as it comes.
Three and two the count. And Merrill on the payoff pitch, and now Schaefer steps off.
Logan, the Journal reporter, is running out of space on his laptop to describe all the action in this game.
And the pitch is caught a ball high for ball four. And now the inning continues with Van Meter coming up.
The Sioux City Journal is going to look like the Christmas edition in length with all that we've seen transpire. And it's not over yet, but the ninth place hitter, you really want him out before Tanner Clean comes up. He is the most dangerous hitter for Sergeant Bluff.
So what he's saying, Logan, is we're expecting a 30-inch gamer out of you. The meter awaits the first pitch, and it's a breaking ball that catches the upper part of the zone for strike one.
Van Meter on the day is 0-for-3 with two strikeouts, one swinging, one looking, and he did ground out to Schaefer, made that great 6-5 putout on a fielder's choice.
And Wahab is fully capable of making that play, too, if he needs to. Schaefer quickly getting set. He didn't really pause there, but threw a ball up high for ball one. He's got to be careful to pause there and not be called for a ball. I could have, if I was an umpire, I could have called him for a ball right there. I don't mind him getting set slowly, but he needs to get set. Now waits, pauses, looks back at both runners, and throws a pitch that Van Meter swings through for strike two.
So now you can be aggressive, make sure it's your pitch, as you have a little bit of room to run here for Sean Schaefer. Runners at first and second would love to get Van Meter out before Kling comes up to the plate.
That would be paramount. Leave Kling in the on-deck circle. Be 1-2. Swing and a miss, strike three, and that's a huge strikeout out of Sean Schaefer, and the side is retired for Sergeant Bluff. We're through 6.5. Sergeant Bluff 5, Helan 5.
I tell you what, Sean Schaefer came running off that mound, and he made it from the mound to the dugout in about 2.5 seconds.
Yes, he did.
Crusaders absolutely fired up, and with good reason, as they just need to scratch one across here, and they can punch their ticket to state. And this is high drama once again playing out in front of us here on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to all of our corporate sponsors for all they've done, not only tonight but throughout the year. So thanks to Sterling Computers, Sunnybrook Dental, the Fire Foundation of Northwest Iowa, Tri-State Dental Care, Tri-State Nursing, Vance Thompson Vision in Sioux City, Ward Electric Company, Wilmus Do It Best Hardware, and we have been treated to an absolute dandy as, let's see, we're about 2 hours and 17 minutes into this game. The outcome is still looming, and we've got some big bats up for the Crusaders with Jabanos, Bleeker, and Lefevre up 1-2-3. That's not a bad lineup to have as
nope.
You look to punch your ticket to state.
Two seniors and a sophomore potentially having a shot to win it. Sounds good to me. Here's Jabanos up to lead off. He walked to lead off the fourth. It's his fourth plate appearance of the evening. As he'll face Wilson, who will pitch out of the windup for the first time tonight. And the first pitch of the at-bat is called a strike, pretty much right down the middle for strike one.
Good job using patience there by Chibanos. Make him pitch to you.
The 0-1. Misses the outside corner, ball one. Chibanos also walked to lead off in the first. It's his third leadoff at-bat of the night. He swings and misses through that offering for strike two. Wolfson working from the windup, shakes off Hector twice, now agrees on a pitch, and it's a fastball high to even the count 2-2.
Those are two of the fastest shakeoffs I've ever seen.
Wolfson accepts the signal from Hector and throws a breaking ball that sails towards the backstop, and the count goes to 3-2.
No, Chapanos would love to use that speed on first base.
The 3-1 swung on and missed, and Wilson fights back to get the strikeout for the first out here in the seventh.
You can tell this just means more. Hunter Ector, after receiving that ball, gave a big fist pump. That'll bring up Bleeker, who grounded out to third twice, also singled, so he's one for three on the day.
He's only seen two pitches tonight. He swung at the first pitch both times. And he'll take this first pitch inside 1-0.
Looked like a bit of a bender that time from Wilson.
Wilson working quickly, the 1-0. And Bleeker takes a strike on the outside corner at the belt, 1-1 to count. Bleeker might be looking to revenge the walk-off homer he gave up against Wilson a few weeks ago as he fouls it off down the first base line for strike two.
Now 1-2, you got to protect that, get something in play, and get on board for Lefevre.
Bleeker taking an extra second to get himself set in the batter's box. as Wilson was ready to go. Now he'll take an extra second. Now he'll wind and deal, and that's a breaking ball high. Two balls, two strikes. 5-5 the score here in the seventh. Next run for the Crusaders clinches a state tournament berth. The pitch swung on fly ball right field. That's going to fade foul into that'll stay in the field, but it will foul, and we'll do the 2-2 again.
Yep, Kerr giving chase in right field. Thought for a second might have dropped over the first baseman, short of the right fielder, but it did tail, like you said, and just short of the fence. Huge crowd here at West. Most of them standing, at least on this side.
The 2-2 swung on, grounded to second. It's a slow roller. Bleeker's hustling down the line, but the throw beats him, and that's the second out of the inning.
Bleeker put on the Jets, almost beat that out, and the second baseman was rather casual grabbing that. Was Lofswald over to Merrill at first.
That'll bring up Sitzman. Who will hit for himself. Sitzman, first at bat of the night, and he swings and misses through that fastball from Wilson. 0-1 the count. Sitzman, a senior, the 0-1, breaking ball high and outside, 1-1 the count.
Wilson has put a few up near the headgear of Heelan, a bit wild.
The 1-1, fastball high, 2-1.
Brady Baker on deck for the Crusaders.
Breaking ball, swung on, fouled off, and that's going to find the parking lot, but no cars will be hit. And the count goes to 2-2.
Sitzman started us off with a great pitching outing, getting us to the fifth.
He did. The pitch. Just misses outside. Crusaders looking to get something going here. They score, they win. And they head to Cedar Rapids on Monday. The pitch. Fastball swung on high, pop up, shallow right. There to make the catch.
Nope. Drops.
Oh, and it's dropped. And now Sitzman goes to second on the play. And now the Crusaders have an opportunity to get the win here.
Yeah, right fielder just lost it in the lights. So Kerr was unable to find that one. And it just dropped to the right of him by about 5 feet. So that will go down as an E9. And the Crusaders are alive. Brady Baker, an unconventional way to extend this inning. But Baker could be the hero, just like Wahab was on Monday, as they get a quick meeting at the mound.
Yeah, Coach Matt Nelson's coming to come out, probably to just calm Wilson down, saying, hey, just get this last out, and we'll head to the eighth. But Baker has other thoughts.
That's why I absolutely love baseball. You never know what's going to happen. It looked like a generic pop fly, but the lights are on bright, just lost in the lights, and it dropped to the right of him, and just like that, it's a big two-base error, allowing him to get to a second. So Sitzman, his first at-bat, he's standing on second.
Yep.
And he's nice and fresh on the base pass. Yes. So he'll be ready to score if there is a single from Baker.
And Baker
might look at the green lights.
Yep, and Baker is capable of putting one in the gap. So who else but a player who's gotten all-state recognition for a couple years, a senior, going to go play at the next level to get the game-winning run in for Heelan. How insane would that be?
It's a great opportunity for Brady Baker. And
ample opportunity.
He grounded out to the third baseman, reached on a fielder's choice, and had a single in the first inning.
Here's Baker, and now they're going to intentionally walk Baker to bring up Schaefer. So another senior getting the shot. Schaefer has the shot to not only get the win, but bring the Crusaders their first state tournament berth in about 5 years. Wilson working from the stretch. Schaefer ready to go. Baker taking about a 10-foot lead over at first. It's been about the same amount. The pitch, fastball, caught up, strike on the outside corner. Wilson taking an extra second to get the pitch he wants from Ector. Looks back, throws, breaking ball, just outside for a ball, 1-1.
As I hear chance of Schaefer, goes Schaefer, and we'll see if Schaefer can get it done here. Count even at one.
Lefty on lefty here in the seventh, tied at five. The pitch, fastball swung on and missed. Schaefer didn't cheat himself on that swing either. 1-2 the count.
No, if he would have connected with that, it would have been ball game.
That might have been a walk-off homer, too.
It's a possibility as we have Power Alley with Schaefer and, of course, Ethan Erickson on deck.
Wolfson shakes off Hector. Now stands up straight in the stretch position. Winds and deals home and throws a fastball low and inside. 2-2 the count. There is a bag open if Wolfson wants to walk Schaefer, but like you said, he's got to face Ethan on deck. Wolfson throws home, breaking ball high and outside, ball three.
And that was not a competitive pitch up near the eyes of Sean Schaefer. So full count, Ethan Erickson on deck. One swing could end it and punch the ticket to state for the Crusaders.
3-2 the count here, runners at first and second, two outs in the seventh. Game tied at five. The pitch, fastball high, and the bases are juiced for Ethan Erickson.
Ethan Erickson with nine homers on the year. We've seen him continually grow throughout the year. He is salivating for this opportunity. You know he is not going to get cheated up there. All we need is a base hit or a walk, and Heelan will be heading to state.
And now the Warrior infielder is going to have a small little powwow without Coach Nelson and without Hector for that matter. Mainly it was Lotswald and Wilson having a conversation. Wilson will work from the windup. Erickson steps in, looking for his first hit of the night. It would send the Crusaders to state. The first pitch of the at-bat is called a strike on the inside corner. Thigh high, 0-1 the count. 5-5 Warriors and Crusaders here in the seventh. The pitch. Fastball swung on, high fly ball, deep right. We'll see if the Warriors make the play, and they do.
Yep, second baseman
and
drifting
back. And the side is retired.
Lostwell lost his feet. He actually ended up on the grass and maintained control. And just like that, I called it. We're going to extra innings here at West.
We're through seven. SBL 5, Heelan 5. We'll tell you about the eighth right after this 60-second timeout. You're listening to the Class 3A Sub-State 1 Championship game here on Sioux Lane Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is real estate agent Tammy Bertrand with Keller Williams, serving all of your residential and commercial real estate needs in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. My husband Rick and I proudly support Sioux Lane Catholic Radio and our Bishop Heelan High School athletics. As proud Catholic parents of Addison Heelan Class of 2025, William Class of 2028, and Henry Class of 2030, we strive to spotlight the mission and the message of Sioux Lane Catholic Radio. Mary Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Since 1960, Meyer Brothers Funeral Homes have been helping Sioux Land families through difficult times in their lives. They care about the needs and desires of the families they serve and treat them as if they were part of their own family. Their purpose is to serve you in a dignified and professional manner while providing you with a choice of services and merchandise that is affordable. The staff at Meyer Brothers promises to continue to assist you in an open, fair, and honest manner while giving the best service possible. For more information, please contact Meyer Brothers at 712-255-0131.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
A clean Warren and Hector here, two up in the eighth for the Warriors, as Schaefer takes the mound once again to try and limit the Warriors scoreless here in this inning, as Schaefer accidentally still had his elbow guard on. And to take that off as the pitcher. Now he and Raiden will have a very brief conversation. And we're for the second straight game, the Crusaders are in extra innings, this time against the Warriors. Here's Kleen, who has reached base all four times tonight. The first pitch of the inning from Schaefer is swung on a miss for strike one.
Yep, Kleen, two singles, two walks. As you mentioned, two for two on base every time.
The 0-1, fastball swung on, fouled off back towards the concession stand, 0-2 the count.
And he had a beat on that one, too, just fouled directly back.
The 0-2, fastball just a little bit outside, not a bad spot, 1-2 the count. The 1-2, fastball, that was low, 2-2. Infield playing back as usual. Sitzman playing, he's playing back. All three outfielders are playing normal depth. The 2-2. Changeup swung on, fouled straight back.
You can hear the crowd hanging on every
single
pitch.
And they are, too. 5-5 here in the eighth. Winner goes to the Class 3A state tournament. The pitch, fastball high, full count, 3-2. Here comes the 3-2. Fastball high again. I guess that ball counts 3-2. Nobody down here, top eight. And the Warriors thought it was ball four. I thought it was ball four.
I had it down as ball four as well.
I had it down as ball four as well.
Yep, and that's a walk. Schaefer was working so quickly there, it's easy to lose count on the balls, but that was the fourth ball. So a free pass to Tanner Clean on base now for the fifth time. Gavin Warren has walked the last two times up. He also grounded out and struck out.
Schaefer having to work out a stretch again in a bunt attempt, and it's going to roll foul down the third baseline. Sitzman picks it up well out of foul territory for strike one. Schaefer asks for a new baseball, and the home plate umpire grants his wish. He'll rub that one up. Runner on first here, top eight. 5-5 the score between the Warriors and the Crusaders.
Clean has 7 stolen bases on the year in 7 attempts.
Another bunt attempt, and Warren bunts this one foul for strike two. So we'll see if Coach Matt Nelson puts on the bunt sign for his third baseman here.
And interesting to see if Tanner Clean tries to get that 8th stolen base of the year. Would be a gutsy move at first base.
Erickson holding him on over at first. Erickson sent at the letters. And Warren takes that pitch high for ball one. 1-2 the count here in the 8th. Righty on lefty. Middle infielder is hoping for a double play ball as Warren fouls this one back over our heads. Keep the count at 1-2.
Left-handed hitter, there is a big gap between Erickson and the second baseman for the Crusaders, so something to keep in mind.
The pitch, fastball in the dirt. No, that hit him, and that's probably lucky that it did hit him.
Yeah.
Because that ball trickled away towards the SBL dugout. And now there are runners at first and second here with nobody out in the eighth.
Now to bring up dangerous hitter Hunter Actor, the second highest batting average on the team. He walked last time up, also had a big sacrifice fly in the fifth, grounded out and flew out earlier in this game.
Runners at first and second here, top of the eighth, nobody out. Crusaders 5, Warriors 5. Next run probably wins it. The pitch, fastball high, 1-0.
Ector with 12 extra base hits, 4 homers, and 8 doubles on the year.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Exactly.
Schaefer looking back at the second base runner as Ector swings and misses at that one. And the count evens at 1-1. The delivery, as Erickson's not covering the bag now, as that pitch has caught a ball on the outside, off the outside corner for ball two.
Fitch and Wahab are paying attention to that runner at second, fielding up the middle. So there is some gaps on both the first and third base side.
The 2-1. Breaking ball swung on. High pop-up. I think that'll reach the seats, and it will. And that'll make the count 2 balls and 2 strikes. I think someone made the catch out there in the crowd. Can we go by Savannah Banana rules and call that out? Is that
I think
acceptable?
That makes sense. If only Helan was wearing all yellow uniforms, that would enact the banana rules.
As the director of marketing communications, I would never approve that, as I approve most branding things Helan-wise. 2-2 the count. For those of you who got Savannah Banana tickets to Des Moines in a few weeks, I envy you. The 2-2. Schaefer takes an extra second, now throws a fastball home. Low and outside for ball 3. Full count here, top 8. Nobody out. 5-5 your score in the sub-state final. And the pitch is swung out. High pop-up. That might stay in. Erickson's going to go chase after it, and it'll reach the second row of SBL parents on the first base side of the backstop. We'll do the full count again.
Braden Erickson, some great speed, running to the backstop. Just ran out of real estate and saw it bounce, like I said, 2 rows back of those lawn chairs. We have lawn chairs as far as the eye can see down the first base line all the way to the foul pole. Number of individuals standing behind the stands here on the Helan side.
Like Tony said, it looks like Saturday in the park, just without the independent music and alcohol. The 3-2, fastball high and inside, and that'll load the bases for the Warriors on 3 walks.
Is that, I believe, 13 walks on the day for the Crusaders?
And that is correct.
We need to settle down here for Parker Luchin, batting 227 on the air. The shortstop has struck out twice. He walked and flew out to center.
Mandatory strikeout situation here for Schaefer. Or double play ball where the ball goes home, where the throw goes home.
Infield is in at second, third, and
everybody's
short
playing
as
in.
Well. Yep.
Outfield's kind of playing in, too. Schaefer electing to work from the stretch and forces a swing and miss on Luchin to get ahead in the count 0-1.
And that's surprising. That definitely would have been a ball had he not swung.
All three base runners have at least 10-foot leads at their respective bases. The 0-1. Pitch caught a ball on the inside corner. 1-1 the count. Schaefer shaking off Erickson, now gets what he likes. And the pitch, fastball, called a strike on the outside corner, just below the letters, 1-2 the count.
Definitely the upper part of that strike zone. It hasn't always been called a strike tonight.
Nope, it has not.
It was that time.
The 1-2, fastball blown away, 2-2. A walk brings in another run for SBL. Nobody out here in the eighth. 5-5 your score. The pitch. Fastball. Caught a ball on the inside corner. And the Helan crowd not liking that, Colin. I think that was a little that might have caught the corner myself.
Check swing on that. They checked with the first base ump. He gave the arms extended. Did not swing. So full count.
3-2 the count here. Schaefer's got to throw a strike, and it's fouled off. And that might have caught a piece of Erickson, too. We'll do the 3-2 again.
Extending the at-bat, good defensive swing by Parker Luchin. As this is bases loaded, once again tied up at 5.
Erickson's playing in on the grass, as is Sitzman. The pitch swung on. They'll go home with it. Get the out at home, so that's the most important out. As Wahab fielded that at short, so Luchin reaches on the fielder's choice. Clean is out on the 6-2 if you're scoring with us at home. Warren moves up to third, Ector up to second, and Luchin at your base footer at first.
And it wasn't the hardest hit either, so it was kind of a close play at home. He had to really charge it and throw with some authority to Erickson at home.
All four infielders still playing in at the lip of the grass with one out here in the eighth. Schaefer steps off as Kerr has walked twice. He's flown out to Bleeker. and he's grounded out. First pitch is called a strike on the inside corner, about thigh high, 0-1 the count.
I think it'd feel pretty good if he had put it in play. It got a great defense that can throw him out at home or potential, well, probably not a double play, but throw him out at home.
The 0-1. Fastball might have been a sweeper as we're not situated right behind the plate. 1-1 the count. Your score, the 1-1. Fastball just misses the inside corner, 2-1 the count.
Once again, another borderline pitch, did not miss by more than an inch or two.
Harrison gets set at the belt, the 2-1. Swung on and missed. Curry, I think, swung just too hard on that one, 2-2 the count.
Swung hard and late, did not catch up to the fastball there from Schaefer.
5-5, bases loaded, one out here in the eighth. The 2-2. In the cold. No, it hit him. They say it hit him. And that'll bring home Warren.
I think it hit a part of a sleeve on that one, if anything.
It must have. So it's 6-5 Warriors. Here's Wilson with one out. And the first pitch, and Wilson swings and misses at that one. 0-1 the count.
Wilson has struck out three times and also received a walk. He was 0-3 on the day.
The 0-1. And that gets away. Erickson having to go get it. Runner comes home. He slides home face first. He'll slide in safely. That was McGregor, the courtesy runner for Ector. He'll score. Lucian moves over to third. Kerr moves up to second, and it's 7-5 SPL.
Well, the Crusaders have the medal. They came back and came from behind on Monday at Lewis and Clark Park.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to get out of this inning. Runners at second and third, and only that one out.
2-0 the count. 1-1 in the count, excuse me. 7-5, one out here in the eighth. The pitch. Breaking ball. Wilson offers at that one and fouls it off towards the concession stand for strike one. Healing, the number one seed in the sub-state bracket. SPL, the number three seed. The pitch. Swung on a miss for strike two. For strike three, and that's the second out of the inning. Much needed strikeout there by Schaefer.
Certainly was. Great job of battling back by Schaefer. Now if he can get Lostwell, you're down just two. Heelan definitely has the bats that can cause some action.
7-5 Warriors, two outs. Here's Lostwell, the pitch. Swung on, foul tipped. That caught a piece of Erickson for strike one.
Lostwell flew out last time up, reached on an air, struck out, and also reached on a walk.
Schaefer set at the belt, the pitch. Fastball low and outside, caught a ball. 1-1. Seven to five Warriors here in the eighth. Schaefer getting set, the pitch. Fastball misses the corner again, 2-1 the count.
First base is empty, and Gavin Merrill batting .238 stands on deck for the Warriors.
2-1. Swung on, grounded to Wahab. He fields it cleanly. Throw across the diamond is in time for the out. But SBL gets some damage with two runs. Now we head to the home half of the eighth with the Warriors three outs away from getting back to state.
Thanks for listening to this action on Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1. I want to thank Neil Pfeiffer, insurance agents Tim Daigle and Spencer, Peter and Matt Sunchins in Danbury, Rob Waterhouse in Storm Lake, Jeremy Borchers in South Sioux and West Point. Also, thanks to Rural Family Chiropractic as well, and all of these sponsors throughout the entire course of the year for bringing you all this action. And we've seen plenty of it as this game started at 7 o'clock. We're 2 hours, 45 minutes in. Outcome is still looming. And Heelan just needs two to tie, three to punch their ticket, and what would be the most dramatic of comebacks.
Oh, my goodness.
And a storybook one at that. Ethan Erickson popped up in a play that was a difficult one for the second baseman, able to get it. He fell to the ground after holding and maintaining possession. So that's about as tight as it comes. So Raiden Erickson will lead us off for the Crusaders.
Erickson has reached base twice tonight. He singled in the first, walked in the third. He's looking to start something here as Wilson returns to the mound for the Warriors. The first pitch coming here in mere seconds, and here it comes, and it's a ball called inside, 1-0.
Wrench, be nice and patient here. We just need some base runners for the Crusaders.
Four hits for the Crusaders, and there's a fly ball to deep center. That one could go, and it is caught at the wall by Kerr in deep center field. Erickson gave that a ride, but Westfield held it for the first out.
That was probably the best well-struck baseball we've seen so far tonight.
Yep, it was probably the best struck ball, and nothing to show for it for Erickson. Here's Fitch. He takes ball one high outside.
Fitch walked last time up.
He's 0 for 2 with that walk. He takes ball two inside. One down here in the eighth. Heelan trailing 7-5. Fitch swings and misses at that off-speed pitch from Wilson. The count goes to 2-1. The 2-1. High and outside, ball three. Wahab on deck. Chibanos in the hole. The 3-1 in there for a strike, and now the count goes full. Wilson wanting to work quickly here. The 3-2. Breaking ball high and outside. And the Crusaders do get a base runner on with the walk. And that'll bring up Wahab.
Mr. Walk-off Wahab, the star of the game on Monday, looks to extend this game. Just one out. Flew out to the shortstop last time up. He also walked and flew out in the third.
Wahab ready to go. Fitch taking about a 7-foot lead over there as Wahab takes strike 1-0-1 the count. The 0-1 in the dirt. Nice pick by Hector. And the count goes even. One ball, one strike. Runner at first. One out here in the eighth. Winner goes to State. The pitch. Fastball. Caught a ball on the outside corner. 2-1 the count. Wilson looking back at Fitch, now swings home, grounded to third, and it's down the left field line, and that's a fair ball. So Fitch will move up 90 feet. Wahab's on with the single, and now we'll flip the lineup back to the top. Here's Chibanos.
And you know Chibanos is no stranger to stressful situations. Of course, with that soccer state title, looking to replicate that in baseball. And you got to like this, first and second, just one away, and Mr. Jaron Bleeker on deck for the Crusaders.
Hector wanting to go out to talk to Wilson, and he had a very, very brief conversation. Now everybody's ready to go. Wilson hunkering down, and now he'll stand straight up and set in the stretch position, and he throws a fastball by Chibanos for strike one. I know there's one out here, but I wouldn't mind a bunt right here. I know that kills an out, but it moves runners up. The 0-1. Chibano swings and fouls it off behind the forest in the backstop. 0-2 the count.
So whatever bunt possibility was
That's
on
gone.
The table is absolutely off, as Chibano just needs to get on for Bleeker.
And Chibano chokes way, way up on the grip of the bat. The 0-2, and just gets a nick of it off the end of the bat, and he stays alive still with an 0-2 count.
Another opportunity here as Hector had an opportunity at it just out of his glove. And so another opportunity for George Chibanos.
Middle infielders playing at double play depth. Corner infielders are playing back. The 0-2 swung on, pop, foul. We'll do it again.
Another quality at-bat, staying alive. Two consecutive fallouts. Chapanos is a fighter. We're going to have to fight to extend this game.
Wilson getting set, now looking back at Fitch at second, now throws home, and it's a breaking ball low and inside for ball one. 7-5, Warriors lead here in the eighth. Wilson looking back again at Fitch, now throws home, and it's in the dirt. He throws a 59-foot pitch for ball two. Bleeker on deck. Crowd getting a little bit louder behind us. The 2-2 swung on, fouled off the end of the bat again.
That one was a little bit of a curveball there. Great job being patient by Chapanos, getting underneath it to stay alive.
Wahab taking another big lead, and there's a ground ball that goes into left. Osborne's going to wave Fitch around, and there's going to be a play to play. No, there's not. He's safe. Run scores, and it's 7-6, Warriors. RBI single by Chapanos.
And runners at first and second now for Jaron Bleeker, as a great scene in front of us as Fitchin gets mobbed coming to the dugout as he was sliding headfirst, much like Ethan Erickson did on Monday to end the game. It was definitely a nice slide there by Carson Fitch.
Here's Bleeker. He'll step into the right-handed batter's box. Like Tony said, runners at first and second, one out. The Heeland crowd back in it. Wilson looking back at the runner, and Bleeker lines one down the right field line. That's a fair ball. Osborne's going to wave one runner around. Wahab's going to score. He's safe. They're going to wave around the other runner. He's Chapanos slides in. He's safe. And the Crusaders are going to state. Heeland wins the game 8-7. Oh, are you kidding me, Tony Michaels? The Crusaders are going to state, and Bleeker is being mobbed in front of the second base bag.
Wow. Jaron Bleeker with a big hit down the line. The Iowa commit just made memories here in Sioux City. Heeland is going to state.
8-7 is your final score as the Crusaders, for the first time since 2019, going to the state tournament in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Wow, what a comeback. Had to score at least two to extend it. Crusaders did one better with three big runs capped off by that double by Jaron Bleeker.
Osborne wasted little time waving Chapanos around to score as that ball went down the right field line. And he slid in safely, and the Crusaders are going to Cedar Rapids and will play on Monday. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Now the Crusaders are going to get that state tournament banner from co-athletic director Andy Foster, and they will happily accept that state tournament banner. Unbelievable as Bleeker takes the banner, wipes the tears off his face with it, hugs his teammates, and now Bleeker gets the pitch of the game. He'll probably pitch on Monday, so. Oh, my goodness.
And Bleeker did a great job going with that pitch. It was an outside pitch. He took it down the first baseline. And no doubter, and then with Chapanos, you know he has that speed, and he was set to go home the entire way, and he did it. There was a play at the plate, but Chapanos slid in underneath, and not a problem as the Crusaders going to state, battle back, and what a great scene here at West High, a great venue for this, and a gallant effort by Sergeant Bluff. They fell just a little bit short to the battling Crusaders, who will march on to state.
8-7, your final score. It's Heeland wins and going to state. We're going back to state. Unbelievable, as it's just pure elation here on the home side. And these seniors finally get to experience a state tournament berth for the first time, and all these Crusaders for that matter. I mean, but hats off to Sergeant Bluff for playing really tough, really strong, like we've talked about throughout the entire night. I mean, Sergeant Bluff is a tough rival, and they gave us their all tonight. We gave them their all, and our all, which is a little bit better than their all.
Man, what a great game. I didn't think that the game would be better than the game I saw Monday, but this had it all, and they battled back. And so Crusaders win it, scoring three big ones. I told you it'd be the eighth inning. They'd come back, and it would be, as Crusaders gather right in front of us here to take some pictures that I'm sure will be going on social media. I think, was it your lovely wife came over and stole your phone?
She came and grabbed my phone. So she'll be taking some photos for me, I'm sure. And let's stay on and let's try and get Coach Osborne, maybe Bleeker here. As wow. 8-7 is your final score as the Crusaders win in eight innings after SPO scored twice in the eighth. And I didn't even write down Bleeker's hit on my scorecard yet. Two-run RBI double wins it. As Chibanos and Wahab score, Fitch scored earlier in the eighth, and my goodness, this team heading to state,
As you're checking your digital assets on your phone to see if you got a couple of good shots there.
I forgot to tell my wife I changed my password. Wedding
there
day.
There you go.
You're welcome. I had to unlock my Face ID and wallet on Saturday. But anyway, let's stay on. I'm going to go join them.
Okay.
Stay on for a couple minutes, and I'm going to arrange interviews. And if you can squeeze my mic through the fence, go ahead.
Yep.
Or we can use the
crowd mic, too.
We can use the crowd mic, too. So
cool.
Let's do this. Ella, let's take a two-minute timeout. Let's take a three-minute timeout. We'll come back, do some post-game, and celebrate the state tournament berth by the Bishop Heelan Crusaders. Crusaders win 8-7. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Bishop Heelan Baseball on Siouxland Catholic Radio.
We make it happen. That's the nature of being part of the Central Bank. Our small-town roots and dedication to the communities we serve push us to help our customers and communities to accomplish great things. We're family-owned, and decisions are made locally. Whether it's a mortgage, a small business loan, operating funds for an ag operation, or a new checking account, our people go above and beyond to make Central Bank work for you and the community we all live in. We've been around for a long, long time. That's Central Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Lightform Technologies originated in Siouxland in 1986 and has been changing the way to build ever since. As energy prices continue to rise, builders and owners choose Lightform daily. Lightform Technologies provides a strong, energy-efficient, wind- and fire-resistant building envelope perfect for home, school, commercial, or other new construction. Learn more by visiting our website or contacting our office. Lightform Technologies, the best way to build. Lightform is a proud supporter of Siouxland Catholic Radio and Bishop Heelan High School Athletics.
Hello, this is Kelly Eckhoff with Christy Smith Funeral Homes, proudly serving the Siouxland area for over 100 years. For all the families in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota that we've been privileged to serve, thank you. For all the others that would like to understand the importance of pre-planning your services at this time, looking at the choices you can make and financial options that are available, you can give me a call at 712-276-7319 so your family doesn't have to do it later. Our phones are answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for all your needs. Thank you.
At Sterling, our vision extends beyond the realms of traditional technology. Sterling embodies innovation coupled with empathy. We're not just developing technology, we're weaving a connected future. Our mission is to build partnerships that transcend industry boundaries, driving process and discovery. Join us on a journey of collaboration, innovation, and transformation, where Sterling is more than just a technological provider. Sterling, your transformational partner.
Mills, Shellhammer, Pitts & Associates. Going with a local independent agency means that they will take the time to understand your situation and budget. Let Mills, Shellhammer, Pitts & Associates discuss your options and design something that is right for you. Located at 117 Pier Street, Sioux City, Mills, Shellhammer, Pitts Associates, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio.
You're listening to FM 88.1, KFHC, Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA, Storm Lake, Siouxland Catholic Radio.
New Crib Inspection is a locally owned and operated company supporting our clients with an unbiased opinion in real estate inspections. We take pride in knowing our industry and take the responsibility in providing our clients with service, knowledge, and professionalism. Call us today for your inspection, 712-301-2121, newcrib.com.
And now, back to your Crusader Sports on your Catholic radio station.
Welcome back to a triumphant scene here at West High as we'll take it to the field and Zach James, who's with our star of the game, Jaron Blaker.
Jaron, what's going through your mind right now?
I don't know a lot. It's kind of surreal. This is obviously the goal at the beginning of the year, to make it to state. And I mean, I didn't think we were going to make it like that with a 5-0 lead, but I guess we just wanted to make it exciting and now going to state, so.
What does that say about the resiliency of this team? Monday night, you had to come back after a big lead after Lamar. Same thing happened tonight, basically. What does that say about the never-give-up attitude about this team?
Yeah, we just got a lot of fight in us. We know that times get tough on the baseball field. The game's hard. But you just got to come back and just stay with it. Stuff like that happens.
Walk us through the hit.
I'm not going to lie. I went up there, and I was like, this kid's kind of wild. The zone's really small. So I was going to take first pitch, but it was there, so I swung. I was praying it was fair, and once it was fair, it all kind of happened really fast. Just very surreal.
You guys have gotten so close as a whole, not just your seniors. You guys have gotten close, so close these last 4 or 5 years. What does it mean to you guys to finally break that, get the monkey off your back, and now you're going to Cedar Rapids?
It means a lot. I've been with this group of seniors for a long time, and going all the way back to freshman year, we knew we had to get there, and we knew that this was the year, and we've just really bonded the whole team. Man, this is just a bunch of friends out there, a bunch of best friends. Yeah.
And, Jaron, congratulations. I got a chance to talk to your pops before the game and just about what a great career you've had, and he's like, listen, it's not over yet. You could see the fire in his eyes.
Yep.
So when it went off the barrel of the bat, first thought that entered your mind?
First thought was, I know Hunter's going to score. He's on second. He's fast. And as I saw it roll to the fence, I was like, I need George to get in there. I mean, let's just win this thing right here.
And faith in your teammates. Yep. It paid off all year, and it paid off on that last swing.
Yep.
All right, well, go celebrate with your best friends as Helam wins 8-7 here in 8 innings as Blaker gets a big bear hug from his dad in front of the third base dugout here. And let's see if we can't find one or two other people here as hugs and handshakes all around here on a Wednesday evening. I mean, my goodness. What a
fantastic setting here as we'll give Zach an opportunity to get some of the winning participants here. But this has been just an amazing output of emotion. And like Jaron said, a lot of these individuals have been playing together for quite some time, and to come to fruition like this is just something wonderful. See, as we have Coach Andy Osborne here joining us, I think Zach went looking for you, but obviously we've got you here, so we'll give you that mic you're familiar with.
You bet.
And wow,
can I see it?
I didn't think that we could surpass what happened on Monday at Lewis and Clark Park. Is your ticker doing okay?
Yeah, right now it is. Monday night, we're standing around after the game, and I could just feel the adrenaline leaving my body, right? So I know I got another one of those coming tonight. But how about these kids? How about the seniors, stepping up? George had an unbelievable at-bat there, get the RBI, and then Blaker, I mean, that's what he does, right?
I mean, kind of a little microcosm of when you have some challenges ahead of you. It looked kind of bleak as you're down 7-5.
Right.
The strike zone was difficult to find, 13 walks.
Oh, boy.
And so, it was kind of stacked against you, but the fact that this team had the mettle and the courage to come back, they believed in each other, and then what a great hit by Jaron Blaker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a stud. Credit Sean Schaefer. Sean Schaefer's got maybe 10 innings on the mound all summer, and
8 2/3 coming into
we had kind of a running joke about him closing and him being the guy at the end of the game, and you know, we were out of options. It was Ethan Erickson, Carson Fitch were on deck, but you know, Sean was so good throwing strikes, kept us where we needed to be. Hunter Wahab, that big play there. You know, so many superlatives. The kids just, they're resilient. They're just resilient, and I'm so proud of them.
And with these kiddos in some situations have been playing together since head at Little League,
right,
and beyond, to see them do it together as a team is something that's just got to be heartwarming for you to see.
It's so special. These seniors, all seven of them, they've been through so much. You know, a lot of them, Sean, Jaron, Brady, George, those four guys have been starting since they were freshmen. And, you know, it's they deserve this. They deserve this. And credit to them. It wasn't, you know, Sergeant Bluff didn't give it to us. We went out and earned it. We went out there and hit the ball, ran the bases, did everything we needed to do to win a ball game. And man, I'm proud of them.
I'll ask you the same thing I'll ask to Bleak. The seniors have gotten so freaking close the last few years.
Yeah.
And to have it cut so short the last few years, what does it mean for you to see these seniors finally break through and finally make it to state?
Oh, I mean, it means everything for those kids. You know, I felt awful for Jaron not being able to get on the mound and pitch and do what he does so well one more time. And, you know, Monday night we had to use him. We had to go to him. We didn't have any choice. And, you know, his pitch count, he's over by two, which, you know, it's just devastating.
Bad luck.
We're in the dugout
yep.
with two outs in that game, but it's 8-8. And Coach Taylor says to me, are we going to go get him? I'm like, well, I can't. I mean, we got to win the ball game. We can't get to Wednesday if we don't win Monday. And so we get to see Jaron pitch again, which is so exciting. But so many big moments. You know, Raiden Erickson was excellent behind the plate again. He's been so solid back there for us. Brady Baker in centers, such great at-bats. You know, I mean, amazing. I'm just stunned. I mean, it's for them to come through in that moment is unbelievable.
What does that say about the resiliency of this team that y'all had to basically come crawl back Monday and then do it again tonight? And you guys haven't really had to do that in the regular season.
Right.
So to do it twice in unfamiliar territory, what does that say about the resiliency of this team?
Greenville Pharmacy is a fully staffed modern pharmacy that specializes in providing personalized care and concern for each prescription customer. At Greenville Pharmacy, you are far greater significance than just another prescription number. We recognize you and greet you as a customer, friend. As our friend, your good health and well-being are truly a primary concern. Proud sponsor of 88.1 FM and Heeland Sports.
We make it happen. That's the nature of being part of the Central Bank. Our small town roots and dedication to the communities we serve push us to help our customers and communities to accomplish great things. We're family owned and decisions are made locally. Whether it's a mortgage, a small